Blog Talk Radio.
Journeyman with Psychic Journeyman Talk Radio. Here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. It's great to be here myself. And I've actually put the links up in the chat room where I can actually be reached for private readings. And we're going to do some readings here today, too. So call in and get your questions in. The number here is 646-721-9031. What is today? It's Wednesday, January 19th, 2011. There's that 11 again. And it's 6:02, so we got plenty of time. We got 2 hours and 58 minutes, so call in. We're supposed to have a show today on children and psychic gifts and their stories. And for some reason, I have not heard from my guest who's going to be on the show today. And for some reason, I can't even find the freaking number to even call them to find out what's up. So therefore, we're hoping that they will call in. And as soon as they do, we'll bring them on the show. Coral, her name is Coral Ruby. If not, I'm going to get a hold of somebody, and we'll have them here Saturday. She's supposed to be here Saturday, too, to do our show, and she's going to bring her brother with her. Coral Ruby is a person who has psychic dreams, and she does psychic readings that way, where she dreams things, and then they happen. Well, her brother is also a... excuse me. Her brother is also... He's very gifted, too. He hears spirits, so it's interesting. So I'm looking forward to having him on the show. Plus, I guess I'll put the link in there so you guys can look that number up and get some private readings. And I would love to work with you. So please give me a call. And so we can do that together. I think it would be a great experience. I know until I do any kind of readings, it's a great experience. And just love it. So therefore, call me up so I can do what I love to do even more. And see, if I'm not mistaken... Let's look at the situation. We're going to do a psychic, angel, and tarot card reading today. So call and get those questions in. And also to the 10th caller, I'm going to give away a free one-hour reading. So get in here and give a call. I wasn't really prepared to do anything, as in talk to Coral and her stories. But as we're sitting here talking about the situation, we could go over a lot of things. People are wondering about the ideal of... If you do have a gifted child, exactly what should you do? Well, what you should do is you should encourage that child to be the best he can be. Now, a lot of times in a situation with gifted children, they have a tendency to be frustrated because of what they feel and pick up and that kind of thing. And a lot of times with situations, you have the kids, they have a hard time because of other kids. I hate to sit there and say that, but people can be cruel because of something they don't understand. And that's basically what it is. It's something they don't understand, so therefore they want to criticize it. When I always say, why don't we sit there and get the information to figure out what's going on instead of going right to the gun and saying, it's no good. And the one thing that keeps irritating me the most, I guess you would say, picking things up with people, is the ideal of the attitude that we think that this thing we call... I think we've gotten so far away from what really should be and what should be happening that we've actually sit back and classified it. Is that the way it's supposed to be instead of doing what we should do? I mean, for example, you go to a funeral, it's $4,000 for a funeral. I think we, instead of sitting there and agreeing with it, I think we should also sit there and say, hey, is that a fair price? We're not putting people in the position to give people fairness. We're just condoning it because we think it's a bill and we're responsible to pay for it. I don't think that. I mean, guidance keeps coming to me all the time in situations of putting people in their place and saying you have the right to do that. You're ripping people off and you know it. But as long as people letting, there's a difference between responsibility and, how would you put it, responsibility and enabling them to keep doing it. We have to get, if you want to really talk about responsibility, I think responsibility should be putting people in their places and say, okay, that's not a fair price, and pulling together on that whole thing instead of being mad and angry because we had to pay a big bill. If you really don't feel like that's the fair price, then there's a good reason that you're feeling something that's coming through. I think we should take a look at that. So with the idea of gifted children, the same thing. When you feel like there's something you should do with the whole thing or there are certain things that happen in the midst of communicating with your son or daughter, there are things that are coming to you that you need to say. Sometimes that's simply what it is. The more you speak your mind, the more it's easier to can deal with these things because those people are going to sit there and look at it and go, okay, this is what I need to do. Okay, what happened? We lost somebody. Anyway, 444. So I was sitting there looking at that situation today. I was over at my dad's funeral. And everybody's angry because, well, the responsible thing to do was to pay that bill. And I just didn't think that was the right thing to do. I think it was one of those things that somebody was charging way above whatever they should have. And I think if enough people pull together, those things would change. We could change the world. But like the statement I just made, I made a different choice and hoping for a different outcome. If I don't even take that risk to do that, then things are going to continue to be the same way they are. 444 is an angel number. And when I see those numbers, I feel like angels are with me at that time. So therefore, I feel responsible to say certain things like that and to follow through. And the more we speak our minds, actually, the more easier the situations are because we're telling the truth. The truth, I mean, let's think about the truth and all this stuff that goes on. They resonate energy. So is negativity. So if you resonate negative energy, you're going to attract negative things. If you do, I'm just saying, do things in a positive way, you're going to attract positive solutions, situations, and they're all going to turn around, and everything's going to start working your way. Anything. Not just certain things you think you can do within the midst of your life. I mean, I've seen situations change outside as well because of how I was looking at things differently from the inside. I'm looking at life and trying to figure out how to describe it. Life in general was just so, since I've been doing this kind of work, has been so different. In the process of being different, I actually embrace that now instead of doing what I used to, where I was kind of scared because people would take me differently. You know what I mean? Think about that. Accept you. Accept yourself. People have a tendency to accept you as well. If you have a problem with that, you have a tendency to attract people to do the same thing. They put a lot of pressure when they shouldn't do. But I'm just saying, go back to yourself. Go back to who you are. Okay, why are you getting all these craziness things happening in your life? Trace it back to you. The only person making decisions in your life is you. Nobody else. And actually, if you think I'm preoccupied, I am preoccupied. I'm trying to find a number that we can actually get a hold of these people, huh? What do you think? Like I was saying before, I put the link in the chat room about if you want to call me for a private reading. Information's in there. But I might as well just sit there and say it now. The number to call me for private readings, past life regressions, dream interpretations, working with your children, working with your own gifts, give me a call. My number is 937-838-6337. The number again is 937-838-6337. Or contact me through my website, which is psychic-journeyman-yolasite.com. Yeah, let me repeat that one more time. psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. And there's one show here, if you get a chance to check it out, it's called Courtney's Intuitive Corner, which is usually on at 7 p.m. I'm not really sure what day that is, so check that out. But it's a really good show. And she was on the show last Saturday, and it was very impressive. She's very impressive. She's a great person, so definitely give her a call and check out her show. And then when you get a chance to take advantage of getting one of the readings from her, definitely do that as well, because she's very intuitive, very gifted, just a very great person. So I'm sitting here trying to figure out, where is that lady at? I was actually looking forward to actually hearing her stories, because I actually did listen to a few of her stories when I was actually interviewing her for the show. And it was amazing, because I started thinking about other things too, how that works and how things could have been different in my life, other people's lives, if they would have just got encouragement when they were younger with their gifts, and they didn't. And that has a tendency, I'm sorry guys, you know, the ideal of no responsibility for anybody else, but at the same time, nurturing people, it's not a responsibility, that's love in itself. So helping people, help. You know, just because you're not responsible for nobody else doesn't mean you can't step out and help other people as well. So try to, where's everyone? Arizona, here we come. I hear you. Come on, people, let's go get our little, well, I don't want to sit here and say butts, but you guys are here every freaking day. And let's sit and go over the whole thing. Let's get our readings in. If you want to, we can call in right now and start getting readings. But I guarantee you, when that 10th caller calls, they're getting a free one-hour reading. So therefore, get in there. Let's get just kind of, you know, any kind of questions. Even if you got a car question, like you want to change your tires or something, you know. Insight is insight, so it doesn't matter where it is. I mean, if you want to find a guy who's, you know, anything you want. I just want to stress to everybody, we started talking about it before, relationships are the most important thing, but remember one thing, you have to be what you're trying to attract, okay? So if you're looking for the perfect man, ask yourself if you are the perfect woman. Okay, that's the key to everything that you manifest, is to be in that energy so you can attract it, which is simply just being happy and loving before it even happens. Then you'll have these things fall on your lap. You know, it's like things are happening everywhere, so what do you want to do about it? You want to keep it going on, right? So therefore you have to keep that love and that vibration high. So why don't you just learn how to unconditionally love everybody? Forget the word hate. Forget anything that has to do with negativity, and just start focusing on everything positive. If you catch yourself doing that, when you do think something negative, just turn that into a positive affirmation. It's as simple as that. Why do we as humans make everything more difficult? And I'm not going to put myself in that group anymore because I don't think I'm human anymore. I mean, I just want to tell everybody that, think about it. Okay? Just think about it. Put yourself in a category of something different than everybody else and embrace that differentness. That's even actually a word. Yes. So, you know, the thing is just putting things in perspective. People like to talk about putting things in perspective, but when was the last time you ever seen a person that actually did that? I guarantee if a person has everything they want in their lives and they're content and happy and they feel very successful, I guarantee they did. So, where is everybody? Let's all sit there and focus on that for a minute. So I'll imagine that my queue just got completely full and that there's 120 people listening right this minute. And let's make that happen. Let's think in our minds. Let's focus on that just for a second. Picture it. If anybody's ever had a show on this on Blog Talk Radio, you know what the queue looks like. So just imagine the queue, one block at a time, lighting up with somebody. Boom, 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 boom. Then, take that one step further. They all have great questions. But each one of those people who call into the show also want to know the phone number so they can call me and get a 45-minute reading because they feel like that's more fair. See, the focus on what you really want, not saying I don't want to do those $10 readings. That's why they're there for. So don't go there. I'm just saying, I like to sit here and look at situations because I know I'd like to give somebody more. So therefore, I believe that that's the way it is. I'm actually getting to the point right now. Try this technique. That you believe that the universe is an abundant place and you believe it so much. Take $20 bills and send it to a charity. I guarantee you, after you do that, you're going to see something that's going to be, if you're sincere about saying this is, I want to help these people and here's $20, I believe the universe is very abundant. So be it, so it is. I've always done that, and those are usually the days I usually make the most money, because I didn't care. I wasn't focusing on those. Like when we focus on the 22 angels, it was just the idea of making sure all the channels are open. When we focus on chakras, auras, these are all spiritual tools, but they're also channels between us and the spirit, spiritual and physical. If you have this thing between the Hello. How are you guys doing? If anybody's out there listening, I know. Courtney, if you're listening, could you please call in? I'm just trying to get some input to see if I have people who are actually hearing me. We just lost connection for some reason with the internet. Everything just went blank. So that was interesting in itself. The law of attraction says we attract all this stuff. What did I do to attract that disconnection? So, let's take a look at that one, huh? It just makes you wonder. So, I'm trying to figure out what the heck's going on as well. Well, we haven't heard from our guest yet, and we're waiting. I'm sure she's going to show up any minute now. So, if you're out there listening, yes, you were supposed to be on the show. I'll also recap things today. And for the 10th caller, we are giving away 1 hour reading. Not 45 minutes, not 30, but a whole hour reading for free. And plus, we're also doing free readings today. Angel, psychic angel tarot cards. What that means is, if you want to get an angel reading, I have angel cards. If you want to get a tarot card reading, we'll get that kind of way, tarot cards. Or if you just want me to answer questions for you in a psychic way, fine, do that too as well. Just call us and get in here. Excuse me. And ask you some questions. Which would be great too, because I never really prepared for a subject today. So I guess we could. Well, this is the way I'm gonna look at the situation. I'm gonna sit here and just talk about things I've been picking up on lately. It's just the idea of mass consciousness. If you sit here and look at the world says this. And if you don't pay your rent, you get thrown out of the cold. They don't care if you die, they don't care if you freeze to death, they don't care whatever. They just want their freaking money. Doesn't this give you like some kind of ringtone of saying spirituality, unconditional loving? Now isn't unconditional loving? Or is someone loving unconditionally money? Seems to me like they're actually loving money. There's a more positive solution, and people are not looking for positive solutions. They're looking for what they deserve. And like we said yesterday, let's put it in perspective. You don't own a damn thing on this planet. Nothing. It is all here for your use. Because you came in this world with nothing, and you're going to leave this world with nothing. And I think the more you sit there and appreciate that and understand where that's coming from, when you come back in the next life, it's easier to obtain. I guarantee you. So let's sort of look at that situation. Instead of throwing someone out in the cold because they didn't pay the rent, let's figure out why. Let's look at the situation. I mean, look for a really solution. And the next time you want to give to charity, why don't you find something that's really good in your closet, something that you love and adore, and pass it on to somebody else so they can do the same. I mean, the idea of handing somebody because you don't need it anymore, is that really giving? Or is that just, I'm tired of it, so here you go. I'm saying if that's all you got to give, that's fine. That's great. I'm just saying I know some of you people out there, just be honest, give the best. You know, we talk about pay forward. I think pay forward is also giving the best and paying that forward as well. You know? How's that going to work for you? I guarantee you, I mean, everybody's had that feeling when you give something and you help somebody, that feeling you have inside. I mean, just imagine you gave away the best thing in your closet. Instead of taking your car next time down to trade it in front of the car, why don't you just give it to somebody? See how you feel. And I understand certain situations that people who give, you know, in certain situations don't appreciate it, but is that your responsibility? We're not looking for gratification, are we? We're just looking to do something nice for somebody. So I think we should put that out there and do that as well. We were sitting here looking at the whole thing, so all you people calling in are going to get reading today. Just basically sit here and look at the situation and go, this is a prayer I always pray before I do anything. And I have a tendency not to do it every time, and I need to work on that as well. And I think that's a progression for everybody, to understand that, you know, there's things we do all the time. And a lot of times we don't do those things, which is to give us an idea that when we don't do those things, how our life is, helps us get back to it. My prayer is, dear God, angels, archangels, please help me clearly hear, see, think, and feel true divine guidance. Please guide my readings so that they are in the light, specific, and accurate, and brings blessings to everyone involved. Thank you, and thank you. So on that note, just sit here and go, there's going to be 10 people popping like you in the next 2 minutes. We will be so packed and so busy, we won't have no time to think about anything else. And I'm looking forward to that. So be it. So, I guess I should have had a topic to really play on this whole thing. It's just the ideal, I guess we'd call it reflection of the world today. And what, I guess, some observation. I think we all should sit back from time to time and observe what's going on and see if things are true as they say they are. I mean, we sit there and go over this one conception about, oh, what is it? Relationships are the most important things to us. But we give more attention to our jobs, our careers, and all those other things, and then the relationships have a tendency to suffer, which in the long term have a tendency to affect everything. So we would have took the proper steps and just loved everything and everyone. We probably wouldn't have that breakdown, and we would never have had that breakdown. And we look at relationships, right, guys? Come on, let's look at relationships. Are you loving everyone unconditionally, or are you expecting too much? Are your expectations too high? What do you want? I mean, what do you want? Okay, if you do have a situation where you are a person of high expectations, don't you think you should be focusing on that kind of person to have instead of finding somebody who's beneath that and trying to make him into what you want? I have always believed in some ways, some of the women I've actually worked with have a tendency to do that. Instead of going after what they want, they'll settle for somebody and try to make him into that person they want. That's a lot of conflict, a lot of work. I think if you sit and took the manifestation and just manifested that person, then you could have somebody you could work with. Or actually, what I mean by work with, that means you're working together. You're on the same page. You're doing the same thing. So when you make a suggestion, they've already thought it. They're already going to ask you. So see, you guys come together, and it's done. And I guarantee if you sit there and look at a situation like that and actually manifesting exactly what you want, you will unconditionally love that person forever. So I guess we should look at the situation, how important love is. Ask yourself today, has love been pushed back because of money? Do people love each other like they're supposed to? Are they always looking at doing it because of what they're going to get back in return? I guarantee you, if you put it out there, it will always come back. And you will always have what you want. You will always have what you need. Maybe it's the ideal of sitting back, and the purpose of being grateful and having gratitude is to actually look at what you really do already have. Because this country right now, we're so fixated on keeping our stuff, we never even take time to even look at it. Do we even keep it? Do we need 4 cars? I mean, it's crazy, you know? To sit there and watch somebody who says they have no money, they have nothing, they don't want to give to nobody, and they don't have it. But they have 4 cars sitting in the front driveway. And you only have 2 people living there. Okay? I mean, it's great to acquire things, but are we acquiring things just because we can? And we're not asking ourselves, I mean, shouldn't there be some kind of necessity or need? I know for a fact when I had my shop in Colorado, you wouldn't have found anything in my shop that wasn't being used in some way or form. It wasn't there for show. It wasn't there just because, oh, I'm a metaphysical person. No, it wasn't there. It was there for a purpose. I didn't have any candles in my shop unless I burned them, which I went through a lot of candles, you know. Candles, incense, I used every one of them. I just felt like it was part of me. I had throws on my ceiling, which my track lighting didn't work. So therefore, I mean, my track lighting worked. It was just the ideal that it wasn't there for that. It was for effect. to make people feel comfortable because I loved it. And I just figured that like attracts like. So everything I like and the people walk across my path, that's what exactly what it's going to be. I mean, think about it. I know for a fact I've talked to other psychics, and it's amazing how this law of attraction does work if you sit back and take a look at it. That the people are crossing your path, they're crossing your path for a reason, because the law of attraction is attracting those people into your life. They need help. They need situations. They need certain things, and you have the answers. And I guarantee you, 9 out of 10 times, you've gone through the same thing they're going through it. So it just enhances the what you're doing. You're very intuitive, psychic. You see the future, but you can also help see the person that's standing in front of you. In the process of seeing that person in front of you, you also see yourself. I guarantee it. So therefore, the idea of loving everyone unconditionally, I just know for a fact by working in the shop, it made it easier every day to understand what that means and to do it unconditionally as well. You know, people are... And the situation is people were always out to help me out because I was constantly doing the same thing. If you're around people that are not reflecting that, you could take a good look at yourself and ask why. But at the same time, if you come up to the conclusion that you are that person, then the people that person is taking advantage of you. So therefore, he sees you for what you are as well. But instead of doing what he should do, which is look at the reflection and change his own life, he's going to exploit you to get the same thing, but he's not going to do the work. He's going to take it from you. That's what I look at. We were going to trace this back to the Bible, too. If you trace it back to the Bible, the Ten Commandments, if you love unconditionally, you will never break the laws. So therefore, why should you think about it? You know, think about that. Yeah, why do people have the Ten Commandments in their front yard? Is it to tell everybody that you should focus on the Ten Commandments, or is it because they're reminding themselves? So for loving people, our lives will reflect that. If it doesn't, just take a look at it. It doesn't mean you can't change it. That's the great thing about it. You can change anything you want. I like astrology to a point because I think it's a blueprint. If you're a Taurus, you have a blueprint of what a Taurus is. If you don't like those traits, you can change them because it actually tells you both good and bad. So therefore, and I'm not a person that says get rid of them. I think we can take all those traits and turn them into positive ones. It's just a way of finding that and taking the time to do that. It's the same thing with loving people, caring. And a lot of times in this world, we're so freaking dead bent on having what we want. We don't take in consideration how many people we walk on today. It wasn't intentionally, but I think if we slow down, start looking at situations, we just might actually see something. Maybe we won't like it, but at least we'll see it. If you don't like it, then change it. The law of attraction is the biggest thing in the society today, but what's so funny about it, it's always been working since the beginning of time. I would even say it's been working longer than that. It's a law. So when you look at those kind of statistics, makes you wonder about the whole situation, doesn't it? What's life all about? What was life before? What was life in the garden? Well, there were no pressures and stress. I don't think stress existed until the 20th century. 21st century. Well, 20th century. When the industrial age hit. But then there was stress. And then there was materialism, and then everybody started wondering, how do I keep my stuff? And then it kind of fell into the whole format. Next thing you know, life is going, oh my gosh, what happened? So, now here we are. This is interesting. Okay, we are back. Well, thank you. Okay. I'll be right back. Okay, won't you please call me and let me talk to you because it's getting a little unnerving because I'm trying to, if I just had some time to call somebody to figure out what's even going on because I just figured they were going to be here because we were all excited about this whole thing and then it didn't happen. So I'm just kind of wondering, you know, what did happen? I'm hoping that's nothing that can't be taken care of. But like I said before, the idea of focusing on the world, we're trying to change things here. And it seems like there are a lot of people that are focusing on nothing but unconditional love. But we have so many wars out there today. I go along with that one too. The more you focus on war, the more you focus on more of. I was watching The Secret, and in The Secret it said, this Sister Teresa said she would never go to a war rally. But if you wanted to have a peace rally, she'd be there every time. And she was a very, very, very intelligent woman who knew exactly what it was all about. It wasn't the idea of saying anything about the law of attraction. She just knew how spirituality works, okay? If you're going to focus on it, you're going to get more of it. So why don't you choose what that something is, good or bad, and take that situation and go, okay, what are we going to do? It's simple as that. Sorry, guys. It's simply that's what it is. One choice changes the rest of your life. So what are you going to do? We can sit here and read all the books, okay? We can pick up any books. We can take all the classes. We can do all the kind of stuff. I guarantee it's not going to kick in until you actually start doing it and living it. I knew for a fact when I lived in Manitou Springs in Colorado, it would seem like every day, there was something good happening, if not all freaking day. I mean, even days when I didn't have any business at all, I still sit back and looked at this. It gave me more time to reflect on what direction I was going in, but also to take notice. Had I forgotten where I was at? Was I not grateful for what I had acquired at that moment? And was I not grateful for the beauty that was outside my door? So from that point on, my door was always open, even when it was cold, which was kind of a touchy little situation, but, you know, turn the heat up, it's good to go. But if you've ever been to Colorado, sometimes you have a tendency to put up with things more than you would anything else because of the beauty. Also, the situation of so quiet. I wasn't used to that. I was used to being in, even in small cities now, you really can't get that peace and quiet. So that was interesting in itself. And that's what I've always been striving to do every day. It's like, happy, happy, happy. How are we going to do that? Why don't you sit back and ask yourself the same question? How are you going to do that? What's the one you could do to be happy? And then make that choice and do that. We are doing readings today, guys. We're also looking for that 10th caller where we can give that hour reading away. We have... That's it, guys. The 10th caller wins an hour reading for free. So once you guys call in, and we'll start taking calls, and we'll do a little thing. And I'm actually hoping that Courtney will call in. I feel like that could really bring a difference to everybody's life. Okay, guys? So, first part of the week, we were actually going over to Angels, okay? There's another book out there by John Randolph Price, too, as well, called Angel Energy, How to Harness the Power of Angels in Your Everyday Life. So you see that? It's amazing, some of these books to talk about angels and right livinghood, which is the idea of focusing and working. And I know for a fact, I'll give you this, when we were talking about children, right, guys? So let's look at the situation of children per se. When I was 10 years old, I drowned. I was in a really bad drowning accident. I mean, right at that moment, the universe came to a screeching halt. I got pulled into a 12-foot undertow. My mom came in to get me, seeing she was 8.5 months pregnant. The current was so strong, it actually broke her sandals in half. And in the process, she was pregnant with my sister, which I thought was incredible, because it was a situation of, it was three, my mom, me, and my sister. We also had a child that hadn't been born yet, so there's all this stuff going on. Somebody asked me the other day, have you ever been baptized? And I said, yeah, I think I have, just not in the traditional sense. And I was under the water for 20 minutes, 20 to 25 minutes. So I was under the water for a very long time, and I had an extremely intense out-of-body experience where I just was actually, I'd walked up out of the water, sit next down to the lawn chair, and watched these people pull someone out of the water, which I never realized until years later, that I was actually watching myself be rescued. So that was intense in itself. And there was a couple of reflections I thought was kind of weird. Maybe we should say incredible. Because I actually saw myself swimming against the current. I think in that moment I should have looked at myself even more closer to see what I saw. But the reason I like putting myself in a position of working with children is because I know for a fact from that point on I felt different. It was almost like awakening of myself, of sensing things with people all the time, but never understanding what that meant. The first time when I was 19 years old, I took my friend and threw him to the curb. Because I just sensed that I needed to grab him and pull him. As we were crossing the street, I pulled him to the sidewalk. Just 2 seconds later, a car comes screeching around the corner, which would have hit both of us if I wouldn't have done that. You know, and you start going over those whole things. And like I said before, the reason I like working with children and their families and these kind of situations is because I never really knew who to talk to about those things. I came from a family of Baptists, and if anybody has been in that kind of situation, you know it's kind of hard to deal with the situation because you're always wanting answers, always being directed to certain things, but no one ever wants to give those answers to you, which I thought was kind of like an injustice itself because those people were in positions to do so, or I wouldn't have been directed to those people. So there was a breakdown in communication on a deeper level. So, you know, it was intense, very intense. But eventually, as we get down the road, you come into your own and you just start saying, okay, forget it. I can't seem to get the answers from certain people, so then I'm going to have to find it myself. So I did, and I finally did find people I could work with and talk to, and just certain things happened, and there were certain things in my life that, certain things you don't like to repeat and don't want to ever do again, but they still were little situations that still led you into one direction or the other. And how those things worked out was just the way it works. So, you see, it's, I guess in the big picture, it all goes toward what you're really trying to obtain in your life, which is happiness. But it's not until you come to your own and say, okay, this is what I want. This is, okay, what are we doing? I don't know, man. I'm driving me crazy. And, where'd she go? All right. So guys, if that's you, I would love to sit down and do a reading with you, and we'd all can find the direction together and work things out. If not, if it's just one of those things of looking for someone else who's on the same page as you are, friendships happen everywhere. They all happen in certain ways, but they know it for a fact they actually do have. So whoever, whatever, I would love to work with anybody and everybody who's out there. I think this is a great format, great show, and I'm kind of like in a position to say, okay, I'm sorry guys, but our guest hasn't showed up. I don't know what to happen with the breakdown, but I'd just love to hear from them again to see what's out there. I still keep expecting them to drop in any minute. Anyway, we're talking about this angel energy book, which talks. I love this because basically it goes off the first book, which is The Angels Within Us, which talks about the 22 angels. I call them the Council of the 22 Angels, a spiritual guide of the 22 angels that govern our lives. It also kind of backs up the idea of the higher arcana in the tarot deck, that there's angels everywhere, even in tarot cards, guys. That's kind of creepy. Because if you talk to anybody who's usually around those kind of things, who are dead against it, you would definitely hear that that's not true. It's all evil, which is kind of crazy. With some of the people I've seen who are calling Christians, well, they have a tendency to attack people, which kind of a contradiction of loving people, I thought. But this book here, what it does is it takes the 22 angels, and actually we can combine certain meditations. So it's like, I know for a fact from being a personal trainer that when you work the body, the whole body together, it works as a unit. And the idea of the 22 angels is the idea of making sure all the channels are open, so therefore they can all work as a unit. So therefore, the more free-flowing it is, the more it's easier for you to manifest what you're trying to manifest the life that you want. I guess we're sitting and doing shows like this, we're just trying to get everybody motivated to even think about that. Are you actually living the life you really want? Or are you living a life because people say that's what you should be doing? And what I mean by that is, society says what responsibility is. Which I have a hard time with that sometimes. I think responsibility is the individual, what you think you should do. Does that make sense? I hope it does. What I'm saying with the situation is the ideal. I just feel like if you became a perfect person tomorrow and were doing perfect decisions and treating people perfectly, then the world would change. And, I mean, has anybody sit back and listen to people talk? What do you expect me to do? To materialize out of thin air? Where do these old sayings come from? Is it possible that at one time we were actually able to do that and then we've gotten away from that because of humanhood? And the ideal spirituality will take us back down that path? Because there's actually been claims that people can do that. I'd like to be able to do that. It would definitely make it easier, huh? Well, we do have a caller, and just do some readings, huh, guys? Our guest hasn't showed up, but it doesn't mean we can't stop doing what we do and what we love to do. So if you want to give me a call and get a private reading or have a family you want to work with, that kind of thing, give me a call, 937-838-6337. You want to call on the show today and get a couple questions answered or a comment, or just get a reading, 646-721-9031. Or maybe you have a comment, too, that you want to talk about the world and say, hey, is there anything that's kind of bugging you, too, as well, that just you don't understand that people say they're loving and there's just certain things about the whole situation that confuse you? Call in. We'll talk about that, too. Let's go to the next our call here. It's 870 area code. You're on the air. How are you?
Yeah, all right, but still.
That's a good question. I'm still trying to debate that one, so. So how are you?
I'm good. Just trying to get a reading.
And what would you like to know? Just ask.
Boys, you know, relationship-wise, married. I'm in a marriage right now, you know, it's kind of going the sideways, trying to get some insight.
What's your name?
Dale.
Dale?
Mm-hmm.
So, Dale, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Kansas.
Kansas? I recognize that phone number. Okay. So, you're in a marriage that you don't really know where it's going.
Well, actually, it's like, you know, no boys wise, just when saw the children, you know, there's no connection. We had like a little argument maybe 2 weeks ago and it got sidelined, it sidetracked it and things like that. Some stuff was said, you know. I'm always trying to be positive, but it's some stuff she said that she shouldn't have said and it really pierced me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to and everything, I ain't getting no response from her or nothing. It's
so
a snappy attitude and all that.
Uh-huh. So basically, if you did want to work on it, she's not working with you at all.
Not exactly, unless it's going to be, you know, the church is involved and I got to wait on them to make decisions and this and that, you know, for as wise that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, the thing I keep picking up the most is the idea of changing what you're doing, but also focusing on what you really want. And what I mean by that is I keep getting this really strong impression that you don't know really what you want to do. You know that the person's not working with you, which is your wife. You know that. But on the other aspect, you're not really sure and clear about what you really do would like to have in a partner, significant other, that kind of thing. Because I keep getting, what I was getting pulled toward was the ideal focusing on that as well and trying to figure out how we can do that. Which could be simply just sitting down and sitting there. I gotta take a deep breath. Actually sit down with a pad and pencil and figure out exactly what you would like, who would you like to be with, what kind of relationship you would like to have. That would definitely specify. Well, and the reason I feel like I'm getting that, because it might actually make a difference with the relationship that you're still in to clarify what's going on. Because in some ways it seems like you're still waiting for a miracle to happen of where this could turn around. Because in some ways, it seems like you don't want to make the decision to walk away. How's that?
Right. It's dead, and then I try to do that. I write stuff down and try to talk it out. With her, making changes myself, but it seems like it's always this big thing that come up, and the only bad part about it is that we'll talk when we try to make decisions to do things, that I have to wait on the church and this and that. When that plays a big factor, it's like a big, stumbling block, like that's in the way.
Right. So you say, okay, the idea of having trouble with the church too?
Right. It's like we make decisions, do something on a Saturday or something on the weekend. It's like it always go down that we end up not even doing nothing because it'd be like 5-6 o'clock. It's almost dark, getting dark. Then it's like no time to do nothing. Then I got to sit up and wait all those hours until she get through with her church duties. And she go to this church. It seems like to me all day, every day. So
she goes to church every day. So she's always putting. I'm sorry.
Yeah. She always putting this in front of me, like she gonna do this there, then tend to me. So it seems like I'm always sitting around, wait.
Dale. The one thing it seems like your wife is doing is she's avoiding the issue. So she's like the workaholic, except she's chosen church. Like most people work more on their jobs and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, from what I can pick up with the whole thing too, I think I just keep getting the word avoidance, where she's avoiding what she needs to do. And see, some people do this where they put themselves in positions that nobody will question. Okay? So going to church and doing this kind of stuff, most of the time people won't criticize that. So they have this tendency to do. I used to have people that I used to do readings for that would pull things out of the Bible because they would interpret things a certain way, so therefore you couldn't dispute it, and they were always right. So the situation here, like she's always trying to betray herself. I'm right, you're wrong.
Right, because like you said, you hit it right on the nail. It's like every time, I know the word, I don't try to get all deep in there like that to manipulate situations, but it's like she manipulates the situation by, like you said, getting Bible scriptures or saying something that is what she needs to do, and then the way that she presented to me, she'll always leave it as though you can come get me. If not, you don't have to. It's always a if not, you don't have to. So it's like, actually, they was the cause of us splitting up and having problems in the first place. So it's that it's on my side, I feel neglected and being neglected because it's like, come on now. What should I do about this? And then it's like, if it don't go this way, it won't go no other way at all. And that's the pattern and rules and regulations that she has set up, but I have never agreed with it with her.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. With the situation, it's a contradiction. I'm going to church, doing all the right things, but you sit here and look at the situation, it doesn't reflect that way. Because if she is going and she's actually living the Bible per se, well, what about the part about honoring your husband?
That's what I'm saying. It's like now. When we get into a little dispute, I'm always hearing about what God requires me to do or what I'm not doing. But on her behalf, I don't slander her. I don't do that because I don't believe in slandering people and things like that. But it's always something to the point that either you're going to do it this way or we're not going to do it this way. Or again, she's going to answer the phone when I call. Stuff like that. So it's like stuff change, and it's like, matter of fact, speaking of the Bible, it's like they all speaking up anyways.
Right.
So evidently something must not be going on right there.
Of course. I mean, think about this. I've sat there and looked at the situation with spiritual people have a lower number of divorces than Christians do, so there has to be something about that whole thing. I'm not saying all of them are like that, but there is a percentage of that, and to something rings true, the whole thing. So it's a contradiction. I get the impression with the relationship is something that you should not give up on just yet. There is some light coming here. But I'm saying with the situation, with this kind of, you know, kind of answering for this kind of reading, this woman still has this back and forth kind of thing where you're hoping that she looks at the situation of something she's going to lose. Because I feel like, because I keep looking at the situation, she has no intention of giving it up. She just doesn't want to work on it.
Yeah,
and that, to me, that's confusing.
Yeah, it's confusing because it's like, it's cool 1 week, then when the following week come up, it's I don't know, or you can do what you want to do. You can file divorce, but if you bring the divorce papers, I will not sign it. So it's like you said, it's confusion. And then it's like, she doing all these things, doing all this stuff, and she always saying, well, we have to work together, we have to compromise, but I don't see no compromise on her end.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I feel like, and this is not any kind of format of saying, okay, you should do this because it's the right thing to do. I'm just saying what the situation, the impressions I keep picking up on is the idea there's still something there that can be worked on, but it's still one of those things of being, not stubborn, but being stern and say, okay, you don't know what you want. Well, yeah, I guess you do because that's what you're doing. You've made a definite decision not to work on it at this time, so therefore not knowing what you want to do, you have to make a decision that tells otherwise. And hope she opens up. I'm sorry, can I hear you?
See, that's the confusion. It's like, this week, a couple of weeks past, whatever, it's like, well, I don't want to do with it. Do what you feel like you need to do. Then when I say, okay, I'm going to do it, then she come and neglect the divorce.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't want to go through that. I'd rather just be separated and let's just have this on hold. So it's like, you still, it ain't no win-win on no side, because if you don't want to work on it, you're done with it. Let's go our separate ways. Let's get it over with. Don't have nobody trapped in a trap. See, I feel like that's what it is. It's like so many people get involved in this situation. It's like, I don't want to divorce you, but let's just stay separate all our life. Ain't nobody want to stay in no prison all their life when they can move on.
I know. It is a hard situation to deal with.
And you know, like you said, it's afraid. It's the afraid she don't want to lose it, but then and it don't make a difference. But then she don't want to lose it.
Hi, this is Nicole Bowman. I'm currently unavailable. Please.
So I'm just saying, with the situation, I would give it at least another couple of months before I make a major decision to walk away. But I also get the impression that once it comes to that point, when she still refuses to deal with it, there's going to be a decision to make of separation, you know, real separation. Because it doesn't seem like she's getting it through her head that you're going anywhere in time. She thinks she has all the time in the world, which I've always said in situations like this. This is what it means in the Bible, the Ten Commandments, that I shall not steal. If someone who's procrastinating all the time and stealing your time away, that could be two different people going two different directions of maybe of being with the people they're supposed to be with, but hanging on to this situation because he's scared to be alone.
That's what it is. See, I had a friend that told me that too. It's like, that's what it is right there. It's like, okay, we can move on, but no, I don't want to sign a divorce papers. But then again, let's work on it. But then again, it's like all this, but then again, the confusion is like, she buying all this time and wasting my time because we're not going anywhere.
Hold on, Dale, hold on for 1 minute. I'm hoping this might be our guest. Hello?
Someone called me from this number?
Yeah, this is, I was trying to get a hold of somebody. This is Psychic Journeyman, we talked before.
Oh, yeah, hi Psychic Journeyman, this is Nicole, how are you doing?
Yeah, I was just trying to find some numbers to get a hold of someone. I was supposed to have a guest on the show who has a gifted daughter, but I can't find her.
Oh, you wanted me to come on the show?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, how are you? I'm sorry, I'm I was just driving in my car and I happened to see the number, so I apologize. I was just a little distracted just now. Were you just saying, did I hear you correctly? Did you say you wanted me to come on the show as a guest?
Yeah, but if you can do it today. Because we're actually...
What day would it be?
Today.
Today? Okay, what time?
10 minutes.
In about 10 minutes. Oh, God. Well, I wouldn't be able to do it today just because I'm already headed somewhere else and I have plans in my car. But
okay.
I could come on another day.
Okay, well, just give me a call back at about 10 o'clock. We'll sit and talk about it. So I'm trying to figure
it out. Okay, yeah.
All right.
Okay, I'll give you a call back at 10 and we can see what day works then.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Well, guys, well, that was crazy in itself because it was the wrong number. We got another guest for the show later on this week, but can't seem to find the right number for Coral Ruby's phone number, and it's kind of strange how things like this happen. I just don't understand it sometimes. But I guess we'll just go on with the whole thing. Dale, what's your situation? I mean, I understand what she's saying, and I really do. We can sit here and talk about this all day, and the way you keep going back and forth, and I understand your confusion. I'm just saying, with your situation, you're going to have to make a decision, because you keep saying the word us. In the situation that you're in right now, there is no us. It's just you. She's hiding out in the church. And so it's like one of those things I was saying before. What do you want? What do you want to do? You know, right now, right this minute, what's the one thing that comes to your mind? I mean, if I was sitting here saying, let's talk to your angels and talk to the guides, that's what you need to do as well to figure out a decision what you're going to do. And I really strongly believe you're a very spiritual person anyway. You have different views than your wife does. Your wife wants to, she feels like she has to go to the church. You feel like you can do it everywhere. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true.
So you're a spiritual person. You understand that God is not just in church.
Right.
God's everywhere. And your wife is thinking that when she goes to the church, she is dealing with the problem. That's what I'm saying. She got this outlook on everything, and she's saying, okay, I got it. I know what to do. At the same time, when she confronts you, the reason she says, I don't know what I want to do, is because she's not ready to deal with it, which realistically she is, because she's being selfish and avoiding it, because it's definitely happening. And there's definitely things that are going on that she needs to confront. But at the same time, she's not doing that, because as long as you stay in the situation and stay in this relationship, you're just enabling her to keep doing the same thing over and over again. So it's like, we don't want to put it in a term of, you want to put the fear of God in there and make a decision. But at the same time, you walking away from the situation and say, okay, maybe you won't sign the divorce papers, you won't do this and the other, but I'm moving on. So therefore, I'm going to go back and basically reclaim my life, move on, and all this other stuff with paperwork and that kind of stuff, divorce and that kind of stuff, I'm letting you deal with it, because you're the one that needs to do all this stuff, because I already made my mind up, and I just feel like you need to follow through with that. I feel like you've already mowed that through your head a couple times.
Right.
It's just that you are this caring person who doesn't want to hurt this lady's feelings, because you feel like you might be walking off too soon. That's still there. That's still, you can feel that with you. You know, you don't want to walk away in case there just might be... Whoa. So, just hold on. Hold on. We might have some news. Okay, hold on. Hello?
Hey, it's like Journey Man. It's Nicole. Just calling to let you know, if you still need someone, I'll do it. I just talked with my guide, and she said that she felt like it was a good thing to do. So,
okay.
I'll go ahead and do it. I just need... your show
goes
on the air in about 5 minutes.
Well, actually, I've been on the air since... I just love that one. Don't you love that, guys, when we lose a call? Hold on. Actually, what we're going to do, guys, hang on there, Dale.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to go anywhere. We've got plenty of time.
Hi,
we just had her on the phone. Now we can't get a hold of her. Isn't that crazy?
Okay.
I'm going to go shoot myself. This is a crazy day. Is Mercury going retrograde again? So, Dale, I'm just saying, what's your situation? I'm going to keep talking to you until I get a hold of Nicole, because she's supposed to be here on the show in 5 minutes. I'm not really sure about Nicole. I'm going to let her come on and talk. I'm always saying everybody I bring on the show is talented, gifted. It's just the idea of expressing it in a different way.
Right.
So it's the same thing with your situation, Dale. It's like you've been hindering yourself. Does this make sense to you?
Right.
Because you've been trying to I don't know what the word is, conform to her all the time.
Hello?
Yes, Nicole. If you want to call in, because we've been on the air since 6 Pacific, Eastern time. So just call in 5 minutes. The number is 646-721-9031, and we'll talk to you then, okay?
Okay, just repeat the number to me one more time.
Okay, it's
646-721-9031.
That's
okay.
It. All right.
My area code is 917.
921-9301. That's 9031,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. 721-9031.
Okay. Yep. Uh-huh. All right.
Okay.
Bye. Okay, guys. Well, we got someone. That's just crazy, isn't it? Get back to the format here. So, Dale, do me a favor. What we're going to do here is I feel like we should do this for you, but you should take down my number, and we'll do a private reading with you for an hour, and we'll just give the free reading to you. How you like that?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, we'll sit down with you, and we'll work this whole thing out, because I think it's just one of those things of saying, okay, I already know what I want to do. It's how are we going to take the first steps to do that, and we'll sit down and work on those baby steps for you.
Okay.
Okay? But I just want to sit here and say, I just feel like it's going to be one of those things of letting things go for a while. I keep getting 2 months. That's what I'm saying. I just feel like 2 more months, there could be some changes in her. And I say could be. I mean, it's like going back and forth, flip-flop, you know? And so I can definitely identify with your situation, your predicament, where you just don't know what to do. Because you're basically basing these decisions you're trying to do, okay, on what she's going to do. Well, you need to cut that whole part out and say, okay, what do I want to do? Because see, in relationships, I don't care what anybody says, you still have two individualities, and they have to be strong personalities. Just like a bridge would have two columns, they both have to be strong in order to maintain supporting that bridge. If one's weak, even the stronger one will give in sooner or later because they can't take the whole load. So the situation with this relationship, she's expecting you to take the whole load. And when things don't go right, she wants to blame you too as well.
Right.
And I'll sit there and look at the situation and say, we're not going to exclude you from saying, okay, you haven't done anything wrong. I feel like in the situation of relationships, it's like looking at both sides and say, okay, what happened? Because either someone didn't do something or someone did something. But even the idea of inaction can be also a hindrance to the relationship. So, you know, trying to look at the both sides of the situation. But so if you look at the situation, what I'm trying to say to you is, by hanging on to this situation and not really putting her, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, I was saying putting her in her place, but when she does certain things, of just being stern enough to say, okay, you're wrong. And a lot of times you haven't done that because of I guess you would say the caring nature of you are. You didn't want to hurt feelings. But see, when you're in a position and guidance is coming through to you, prompting you to say certain things, they need to be said. That's why they're coming through you.
Right.
So just working the whole thing. So it's the idea of making decisions, do what you got to do, follow through. Then we'll do the reading. So if you want, I can give you the number right now.
Okay.
Okay, the number is 937.
937.
937. 838.
838.
6337.
6337.
Mm-hmm. And
okay.
Give me a call at 10 o'clock tonight, Eastern time, okay. My time. And we'll sit down and set a time. I won't be able to do it tonight because I need to sleep. I'm so exhausted. Because just getting, you know, you come to a point where you got to just rest. But I would definitely do it. But we can definitely set up a time tomorrow, and we can do that for you, okay?
Okay.
So I want you to call me tonight, and we'll sit down and we'll work out a time and hash out. And you know, just that, put in your mind a couple of things that you want to cross and a whole kind of thing. We'll cross that too. And
okay.
Then we'll do your reading tomorrow, and we'll really get into the deep of the subject, all right?
Okay.
So, and I just say be relaxed and open and just let things go where they're going to go, okay?
Okay.
All right.
All right.
And you give me a call tonight, and we'll definitely do that, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. I appreciate your call, and look forward to working with you.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
All right, guys. I'm sitting here thinking, where is everybody at? Do you ever think about those kind of things? Hi. Okay. Courtney, are you back yet? She said she'd be right back. I see her. She's in the thing on the chat room. We're going to have a guest on tonight too, but I was still like, if you can call in yourself, it'd be great too. And if you look in the queue, you'll see that all the information's in there for you to call and get a private reading with me. The prices usually is the number, which is 937-838-6337. And my website is Psychic Journeyman. Well, that's actually psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. And we've been talking about, as we go through the callers, world things. I mean, how do you perceive the world yourself? We all talk about love, and it does reflect. But there are certain things that don't, which I wish we could turn around so they would. It's just simply people thinking differently. And I guess what I would say to you is, okay, I'm not sure. But what I mean, well, you have to change your minds. It's the ideal. Money does not come first. So it doesn't. It was never that way in the beginning, and it should be this way now. There's no excuse to sit here and say, well, I got to have money. No, you don't. People will probably argue with that one too as well. Probably sitting there right now going, humans need money. Well, if you're thinking that, then look at your life and how it reflects. You're constantly needing money. I mean, I've said during talk before on the show about certain things that have happened with me. Okay? And, take a look. I was distracted by that, guys. I'm sorry. I'm looking in the chat room, and it's usually full. I don't know where everybody's at, so I'm curious. I know people have busy lives and that kind of thing, but it'd be great to have you guys come into the show and listen to what's going on, and even voice your opinions about what's going on. Because what I'm saying to everybody, this situation I'm talking about is the ideal of, if you love your neighbors, if you love yourself, you wouldn't do certain things. You just wouldn't. The Ten Commandments would never be broken if you loved unconditionally. Take a look. I got you. But the situation is anybody really looking? Is anybody listening anymore? I love. Do you love? Or do you think have to? If you're thinking you have to love, then you're not loving because you're thinking too much. Just run through it. Because I sit there and watch the world. I don't watch the news anymore because of this craziness. Other people thinking that there are certain things that you have to do. That is not a loving thing. Try to put it in perspective for you guys. Try to put it in a way of saying, okay, this is the way it is. But then again, this is my perception too, as well. Prosperity. What is prosperity? It's different things to many people. I think once we get to the point of respecting that, that people's opinions are their opinions, and just respect that, I guarantee they would respect yours too. It's the same thing with we're going out there and saying, okay, this is life, this is what's going on, and I'm offering you this. But at the same time, I have an alternative motive. Could this be the reason why people are not getting what they want? Because they're not really focusing on that. They're focusing on how to get it when they should let the universe do that. The universe is an amazing thing, and I've seen things happen quite a bit. I guess what I was saying before about putting money first, I've had apartments, rooms, a lot of stuff, a list of things that came to me without the aid of money. The money did come later on because on this planet, money is the exchange, so therefore it came to me so I could keep what I wanted. But the idea of obtaining it still happened. And, I just know for a fact the world would change if everybody would just look at it that way. It's been a crazy show. So, it's Tuesday. Actually, no, it's not. It's Wednesday, isn't it? And I'm going to bring on, if I'm not mistaken, this is my guest, Nicole. Hello. Okay, let me try this one more time. Okay, I do not like this freaking machine. Okay, let's take a deep breath. And think nothing but loving thoughts. Here we go. Alright. Alright, Nicole?
Yes, hi.
How are you?
Can
you
hear me?
Yes, I can hear
you. How are you doing?
I was in here,
good.
I was freaking out because I was sitting here looking at this button and it wasn't working right. I'm trying to push it like 3 times. I'm sitting here going, okay, what is up? Is Mercury like kicking? I don't know. Maybe it's a Pluto thing. So, Nicole, why don't you tell us a little bit about you and, you know, just.
Okay. And that's it. Okay. Well, good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Nicole Bowman, and I am a psychic medium. I'm also an intuitive life coach, and I host my own show called Live the Light on Blog Talk Radio that airs Tuesdays and Thursdays from 3:30 to 4:30. I'm also available for private sessions. Usually when I do readings for people, it's really about looking at blockages that you have in your life, looking at the unnecessary energy that you're holding on to, and then giving you practical tools to dissolve that so you can create the life you want. So that's really what my specialty is.
So, okay. I was just to make sure. Did you give the information how they can actually get a hold of you?
Yeah, actually you can log on to my website. My website is www.nicolebowman.net. And once again, that's www.nicolebowman.net. And then you can also log on to my blog talk site. It's blogtalkradio.com/livethelight. I offer private sessions, so you're more than welcome to log on to my website and book a session. I offer intuitive phone readings in half-hour and one-hour sessions. And then I also offer in-person sessions if you live in Central Florida. But all of that information is on my website, and the price for an in-person session or a phone session is the same. For a half an hour session, it's $55. For a 1 hour session, it's $100. And then for a 15 minute session, it's $35. So just depending on what you're looking for, depending on what your needs are, I try to have a couple of different prices to meet everybody's needs.
Okay. No. I was trying to go with the whole thing and saying everybody out there. I wasn't trying to be negative about anything. It's just the idea. We have to look at certain things before we can change them. So, I just want to change the ideal of saying money is not, and say, okay, that's a good thought in itself. Nicole, when you sit here and got into this business, I mean, was it something, it was a progression of something you was led to, or is it something you've done for a very long time?
Yeah, that's a good question. honestly, I was born psychic. I was born intuitive, but I grew up in a household that in a lot of ways was very volatile and was very emotionally explosive. So because of that, I kind of shut off my intuitive abilities for a very long time. And it wasn't until I got into my 20s that I began to awaken them again. And it wasn't until actually just a couple of years ago that I really began to accept my ability to communicate with the spirit world, my ability to communicate with people's deceased loved ones, as well as my spirit guides. So doing this work is, obviously I've had this gift my whole life, but it's something that's very new to me in terms of doing it as a profession or really even just standing up and saying, yes, I am intuitive. I do have these abilities. Yeah.
Oh, no, that's great. I mean, what I was saying before, when we were talking about the world, I was understanding, you know, the idea of money is being put first before anything else in the world. And I've been in too many situations myself, and I was just curious about your situation. But what I mean by that is, when I was working in my shop, I would do things because I was loved to do those things. So I would be sitting there. For instance, I had a lady walk in who wanted to get a palm reading, but she had no money. So I sat there and said, okay, you know, just look at the world and the way it really is. If the girl sits down and does a reading with me and I do a palm reading, I get to practice what I love to do. So I went anyway, either way it goes. And she wanted a palm reading, so therefore, you know, I feel like it was something she needed. And I don't care what it is, palm readings, dream interpretation, there's somebody looking for some answers. So I sat there and said, okay, why don't you just come in and I'll just do it for you for free. But before the situation was over, her uncle walked in and her mother walked in and saw me doing this palm reading for her. Her uncle was so impressed with what he saw that he paid for hers, his, and his sister's. Mm-hmm. So what I gave away for free turned out to be almost $70. And it was one of those things of saying, it was almost like every time I said something, something would happen to back it up. And I always said that if you let it, money will drop in your lap. So therefore, the idea of chasing after something, anytime you chase after something, there's always a sense of pushing it. So it just gets further away. So that happened, and it was just something of being in this, ever since I've been doing this, things like that happen all the time. So I have a different look on money. Money is not the center. And money will not do anything for you unless there's somebody attached to it. It's like the universe. The universe, I feel like, could have never existed unless it was consciousness that happened first. So that's why I always feel like God exists, because that proves it right there. But it's the same thing with this stuff. It proves itself over and over again if you just let it. So, and with your life, I mean, if you ever had any situations that happen like that as well, it just keeps reaffirming it for you that you are in the right position. What I guess
Absolutely.
You would say, your life person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm
sorry.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely okay. I think what you're saying about money is absolutely correct, because I think living in this world, we see money, we see paper, we see numbers on the screen as the only sign of abundance. And abundance comes in a lot of different forms. It's not just in the form of money. It comes in the form of love, relationships, good health. You know, it comes in the form of knowledge. It comes in the form of positive, loving relationships. So what I always suggest that people do is that they try to kind of take their attention off the money and take their attention onto, when you're trying to acquire this money, what is it that you actually really want? And what most people will say is that they just want freedom. They just want the ability to do what they want to do when they want to do it. And the truth is, you don't really need money to do that. You have to kind of loosen your grip a little bit. Like you were saying, you have to kind of, money comes and abundance comes in many different ways. And sometimes, you know, in this day and age, we get so fixated on something coming to us a certain way that if it doesn't come in the package that we want, we discount it and we say, oh, no, that's not it, because I'm supposed to make this job make, you know, six figures, and this pays, like, you know, $30,000-$40,000 a year. I can't live on that. But the thing is, you never really know, and, you know, God can really dream a bigger dream for you than you can dream for yourself. And I completely agree with what you're saying about your intuitive abilities, because there are times when, you know, there are obviously people who right now they're not in a position where they can give me money for a reading. But if I feel led to read someone and I feel led to help them out and give them insight, I absolutely will. And I definitely think money should never, you know, be a deal breaker one way or the other. It can never be a deal breaker. You really, money is a tool. You just got to see it as a tool. It's very neutral. But sometimes it gives so much power. And it's often, honestly, like the less connected to it you are, or the less dependent on it you are, the easier it flows to you. That's a paradox, really.
Oh, heck yeah. You know, it's like I was sitting telling everybody about the situation, and that's what I was trying to say. I'm not bragging about certain things. I'm just saying it's great. It's amazing how life works if you let it work. And it would just keep reaffirming to you, because everybody's like, am I in the right place? Well, if you are, I feel like if you was, then you know that, because it would keep reaffirming itself all the time. Because when I was in Colorado, I mean, shoot, when I got in that shop, it was just, you know, I noticed one thing, too, and this is what I was saying, too. It's not just the ideal position of abundance either. It's the ideal position. If it's your position and you are exactly where you're supposed to be at, nobody can hurt you either. I had a situation when I was in Colorado where people were blasting me with rumors and all kinds of stuff. And I thought what was so amazing about the whole thing was it reaffirmed again that I was actually supposed to be there, because those people would go out of business. I would still be there. So it was a constant reaffirming and going that route as well. So I was so I would warn people, watch what you say. Not because of anything, but my angels would come through and say, you know, tell them, warn them ahead of time, because, you know, the idea of knowing how powerful you are just happens. And when you live it, it's like the term materialize something out of thin air. You just think it and it happens. So therefore, I would sit there and say, okay, any person who says anything against me, these words would just come to me so spontaneously, like, okay, go ahead, do something to me. But I guarantee you, if you're doing something to hurt me, it will come back on you tenfold. And I'm not saying tomorrow or the next lifetime. We're saying right now. So the angels would say, yes, because, not because of what I said, but because what they said. It was basically saying, it was like we trace things back to the Bible all the time. You know, the power of the tongue. People don't realize that that's a double sword, because it can either give you bad or good. So therefore, if you're living, I'm just saying, being in that energy, constantly saying those things and doing those things, was just keeping the energy going. So therefore, karma, whatever was going on at the time, it was like living the spiritual lifestyle. So those things would happen very quickly. And it was like, I would get the good stuff, then get the bad stuff. But then again, what was happening here was reaffirming. The law of attraction says, okay, if you put it out there and you're thinking positive, you get positive. If you get negative, you get negative. And that's what they were getting, and that's what I was getting. And at the same time, just because we were in two different areas at the time, doesn't mean it's not going to keep working. You know, so the batteries didn't run out that day. But I'm just saying. So the situation was a constant proof. So therefore, if you're looking for the lifestyle you want, there's signs everywhere if you just listen and watch them. Just look at them for what they are. I know for a fact I've seen some people who make decisions, and then when the signs come along to dictate that or contradict that, they have a tendency to know. I bring them a mind up, so therefore they take the signs and fit them to fit with the decision they already made, instead of using the signs to make decisions. You've had that experience before too, right? Mm-hmm. You there?
I was just listening. I was kind of just taking in everything that you were just saying, sort of about the power of the tongue and your words coming into action, and the words being made flesh. Because ultimately what the Christian Bible is saying with that, and the words became flesh. God said, let there be light. And that, essentially, that's what it means, that there is power in your words, and there's power in the tongue, and there's power in the energy that you give to things. So I definitely agree. You know, if people are coming from a place of condemnation, or they're coming from a place of jealousy, that's what's going to come back. And that's what's going to show up in your life. So I think it's so important when you set your intention, come from a place of being truly helpful, come from a place of wanting to serve, and you come from that arena as opposed to making it about a competition.
Oh, yeah. That's the whole thing. I mean, we were sitting talking the other day about people have a tendency to get really protective or territorial when they don't need to. I mean, if you're in that position, that's what you're supposed to do. You don't need to do all those things. We were talking about yesterday about the angel of unconditional love and freedom. I think the reason they have both those together for that angel is the ideal. When you unconditionally love, there is freedom with that, because you don't worry anymore. If you're loving everything unconditionally and everyone, then you're attracting that as well. So therefore, there's no, you won't worry. I mean, it's just be a spontaneous thing. You're not going to worry because you have no reason to, because everything's working great. So when you sit there and think about that, I think in the Bible it says the greatest commandment is love your neighbor as you love yourself, and love yourself as you love the neighbor. You can't do one without the other. So they work together. So therefore, if you are in a position, if you are in your position and you love what you do and you love yourself, you just have a tendency to attract everything you need in the first place. And the people who do come in there and try to take advantage of that, you see them coming way before they even show up. I mean, I just thought it was amazing when I was sitting there, especially this one particular lady, who just, she disappeared so freaking quick off the scale because she just thought she was just it. But that was the one thing. She thought she was the only way. She thought she was,
right.
You know, and my angels came to me and said, yeah, the only reason she was not there anymore. Yes, of course, you sit there and put it out there and said, this is what's going on. But at the same time, she was also taking out a position because she was going to do more harm than good. So the universe corrected itself. She was almost in that position, but it was just one of those things of, I guess you could sit there and say, by saying the right thing, it made things right. Does that make sense?
And I think that makes perfect sense. I think that that is so important. You know, when you're walking along this path, yes, each and every one of us comes from God, and each and every one of us has wisdom. But it is really, really important. You have to be really careful that you don't get caught up, or we don't get caught up feeling like we're the only one. We're the only one that can. Because that is so dangerous. I think it really, you know, it leads you astray, but then it also can lead the people around you astray that are listening and taking in this information. I think wisdom comes in so many different forms, and I think it's, but I agree with what you said. You know, what is for you can never be taken away from you. If it's yours, it's yours. If it's not, then you ultimately you have to release it. But if it's truly for you, it's for you, no matter what. And there's no exceptions to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So exactly. Something can't be taken away from you. That's yours. Period. So people being threatening and that kind of stuff. I think in the sense of someone even thinking that tells me right then and there they're not in the right spot. They're not in their right place where they should be at. They should look at that whole thing. It's just because I see it doesn't mean they shouldn't look at it. I can look at it all at once. You know, I can see it from my perspective, but until they come to the realization, it's not going to change because of what I think. I'm just hoping that somewhere along the line they take the consideration to look at it so they can realize it themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think
can't
it's also
do
just.
It.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I was saying, what's the situation at hand? It's just. I guess that's one of the reasons I want to go back to Colorado, because there was just so much stuff that happened, where the energy was just really right, and everything I did and everything I said, it was just taken the right way, and everything reflect and things change very quickly, for the good. And I always thought it was just because of finally being on the right path. I feel like I should have taken a long time ago, and it was just so many things that happened that made it so easy to go back to it. Not harder, but easier to realize. Because I was sort of talking about before, when somebody on the show was talking about a person sitting there, you have a couple who say they're having a hard time making it financially, but I got four cars sitting in the front yard. And I say, I'm sorry, I have a hard time feeling sorry for them. And the idea of even feeling sorry for anybody, I think you're just enabling the person to stay where they're at. If we would sit there and say, okay, I love you enough to sit there and say, hey, get your ass up and do something about it, instead of sitting there going, okay, this feels sorry for Joe. And Joe's going to just sit there because he's taking it all in. He's getting attention, maybe not the attention most of us would want to, but he's still getting it, and he's going to sit there. I feel like when it says the world of unconditionally loving somebody, it also puts you in a position of lovingly saying the right thing at the right time as well. And say, okay, buddy, I can say it nicely. Please get your ass off the couch and go get a job. You know, instead of shoving him out the door. And I still feel like that to this point, you should never throw anybody out into the streets for no reason at all, unless they keep doing the same thing over and over and over again to the point where you just feel like you're just spinning your wheels. Of course, then you should stop, because you're just enabling them to keep doing that. But at the same time, to throw somebody out in the streets because they didn't pay their rent, I think they should look at the situation even deeper and ask yourself, if the person's really in a position where they can't do that, What's so hard about you leaving them, letting them stay there for like a couple more months? And you can sit there and do something where it's like, okay, this is covered with a plan, work together, but you don't see that. It's either you do this or I do this. There's no working together anymore. That used to be in the day where, back in the, I think the reason we got through the depression so easily because people were actually working together, doing certain things. This gets to point A to point B and say, okay, just do this. Just work together. There was love in certain aspects of doing things and changing things. And then we got through that pretty, I think, a whole lot quicker than it could have been. But if it would have, I mean, people hating, you know, using prejudice. I mean, prejudice seems like it's one of the things that keeps lasting forever because no one's really addressing how to do that, how to correct that. I think you should inject love into it because, yeah, I mean, and people say, well, we do that. Do you really? I mean, when you do your little protest, in the context of your protesting, do you get violent? Do you get angry? Then you're not sending out the right message. You know, that's what I was saying before. Was Sister Teresa said she would never go to a war rally, but she would definitely go to a peace rally because she knew the difference. If you put the energy into war, you're going to get more war. If you put energy into peace, then you're going to get peace. So what are you going to do? You're going to sit back and go, okay, what is your choice? What are you going to put your energy into? Are you going to put your energy into now and say, okay, I got all these money problems. I got four cars sitting in the front yard. I think it's time to sit there and be really honest with yourself and ask yourself, what do you really need? Are you sitting there paying all these bills on these four cars because it's a you really need those cars? Or is it a pride thing of what would the people think if I lost my cars and stuff? Or whatever it is in the situation. I'm just saying assessment of looking at the situation and asking yourself, okay, you have a burden. But it seemed like to me in that situation, the person's creating the burden on themselves because they won't cut loose what they really don't need. And I think once they do that, I think someone needs to be loving and walk up to them and say, hey, man, come on. Just get real. Do you need four cars? It's okay if you have a car lot. I understand that. You want to sell a couple cars? That's great. But if it's really putting you in a situation where you're just in this burden of financial despair, the solution seemed to me to be very clearly, you need to cut the fat. Wouldn't you agree?
Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I was listening also as well, you know, when you were talking a bit earlier, and you were sort of talking about sometimes when you turn on the television or you read the newspaper, there are times where...
Go ahead. I'm hoping. Well, I was supposed to have a guest on the show today, so. Hello.
Oh, I see.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. My name is Pam.
Your name is who?
Pam.
Okay.
And I was on your show on the last day of last year.
Okay.
Yeah. And I had. Yeah, I gave you a website number and everything, and I went on the website and I, you know, I told me I'd have a meeting for $10, whatever, to call you for a time. And so I'm calling. Are you busy? You don't have to do it now, but
yeah, am I busy, guys? Yeah, we're actually doing a show right now, but
I'm sorry.
No, call me back at 10:00. 10:00, okay? 10:00 Eastern.
Eastern. I'm in Colorado, so what is that, 2 hours?
Yes, I think it is, yeah. So call me at 10 o'clock my time. And,
didn't know you had a show on.
No, that's okay. That's cool. We've been having a lot of good times today, so.
Okay.
Call me back at 10. All right. Bye. And I was actually hoping it was one of the guests I was supposed to have on the show today. I was actually having a show today where it's basically on gifted children and their stories. Well, the gifted child didn't show up. So how intuitive can she be? I'm just kidding. But. I'm pretty sure there's, I mean, I've actually called a couple of numbers where I thought for sure it was them, and then anybody could cut in sooner, but I'm going to find out later, because they're actually supposed to be here on Saturday as well, so I'll find out what the breakdown of communication is, and we'll take care of the whole thing. But I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, I know. goodness. Yeah, okay, now I remember what we were talking about. So we were talking about the idea that sometimes, you know... I had to think about it for a second. sometimes when you read the newspaper or you watch television, you have to remember that you're being sold this dream. You know, you're being sold advertisements. So you have to really ask yourself, is this something that I want and need in my life? And really weigh that. And sometimes we don't, you know, and we get caught up in the image and we get caught up in the idea that we have to have, you know, a house that costs X number of dollars and we have to have, you know, four or five different cars and we have to have our kids in this type of school. And it's not necessarily there's something wrong with that, but you really have to ask yourself, is this really something that I want and desire from the deepest part of me, or is this something that I'm buying into in order to be seen a certain way? And I think,
I guess that's,
you know, because a lot of people, I mean, I've traveled quite a bit, and I've traveled overseas a lot, and what I've noticed, especially when I traveled to Europe, is that there are people that are incredibly wealthy. You know, they're incredibly wealthy, or there are some that are what you would consider middle class here in the United States, but they live on much less. They live on much, much less. You know, a lot of times, instead of having several cars, they have one or two. You know, I've noticed in Europe, across the board, people carpool. It's very rare to see one person just get, it's usually four people in one car. You know, conservation is very, very important. And there are people that live well, they live comfortably, but they just live on less. And they've learned to desire and to want less and to really ask themselves, is this really something that I desire? Is this really something that's for my highest good? Or am I sort of just buying into what I've been told? So I think it's always important to really look at it.
No, I was just looking at all the situations. Because my brother was over in Germany for a while, and he said that you never saw things. I mean, if somebody hit an animal, more than likely somebody would stop off the road and get a shovel and clean that dog off the road. It wouldn't be there while people would just run over to make leather out of it. They would just, he said you would see things like this all the time. People were just instinctively nice and do certain things, and this was just the norm. I mean, I'm sure he'd also said that there was also a 9-year-old in the bar drinking, but, you know, there's balance. There's certain things
that
go on. Yeah, so you sit here and look at the situation, you go, okay, that's it. But that's just one of those, you know, things that come out of nowhere, which happens a lot with a lot of things. But to sit here and focus on that, just that one thing, to basically set the tone for everything else, I know you got to look at both sides of the picture. Sure, there's a 9-year-old, but you don't see 10 9-year-olds. There's just one in there getting drunk, and you're like, okay, that happens. But at the same time, well, we have a tendency to do that. We focus on the negative instead of looking at, oh, look at the positive thing about the guy going out there and, you know, either cleaning some trash up or cleaning the roads were always clean and stuff because someone took the notion and did a positive thing. But you always hear the story about the guy, the kid in the bar when we were sitting there, okay. Because I was trying to draw my mom. Mom's the same way. I started talking to her and she was talking about paying for this funeral, $4,000. And the responsible thing to do is to pay that money off. And I thought, no, I think the responsible thing to do is ask, is that person really charging you a fair price? And are you being ripped off? And if you continue to do that, you're enabling him to do that, not just to you, but other people as well. So you sort of talking about responsibility. I think it's responsible for someone to be a loving, caring person to stop that kind of stuff. To say something, because we're all talking about changing ourselves, change the world. I think at that moment, you change your thinking on the whole thing. You change the outcome somewhere down the line. It might not be that day, but we sit and talk about unconditional loving. You know, love can be interpreted in many ways, but when you sit here and look at it, I know for a fact telling my friends the truth is a loving thing to do to them instead of just being nice and not hurting their feelings. When we know for a fact that when you hurt someone's feelings, realistically what you're doing in that situation is something you have said has sparked something in them of truth. That's why they're hurt by it, because it's more of a self-hurt and say, okay, that is true. When we have, it's like a way of spot. I'm sorry.
I agree. And I think the work that we do as intuitives, I mean, that speaks true to that as well, because oftentimes as an intuitive, you know, someone will call you for a reading and you could tell them lots of warm and fuzzy things that are going to make them feel great. But honestly, if you are here to serve and you're here to do it with love, you have to tell them the truth as you see it.
That's real serving.
You know, because ultimately that's what for someone's highest good. I remember I was reading for someone a couple weeks ago, and they wanted to know something about a financial situation, about, you know, acquiring something. And as I looked in, I immediately saw they were not going to receive it. But I also saw that they knew the reason why. And I told them that, and they got extremely angry, because deep down inside, they knew that what I was saying to them was true, but it was just that they were holding on to a little bit of hope that maybe I would tell them the opposite, you know? You know, and I was like, no, this is what I'm seeing, and I'm sorry that, you know, ultimately it looked like things were going to pan out, but just not in the time frame that they wanted. And there was, and their reaction was very, you know, I've read for people before that have just breathed or been like, I don't feel this way, but this is by far the most, I mean, they were just very, very angry. But I think that reaction, like I said, was so strong because they knew that what I was saying was true, and they had been feeling that all along, and they were not yet ready to really face it and claim it and own it, but they knew that it was true.
Yeah, because one thing I was sitting and saying perfectly, too, about the situation is the reason I really get really passionate about this, because I've actually been there, too. So the idea of knowing that, because I've had people say that, too, you know, well, this is the way life is. I said, yeah, I used to think the same way, too, but now I don't think that way. So, therefore, it's not that way. As simple as that. You know, I was in a mortgage company business for a while, and it just seemed like they've been doing the same things for over 100 years just because somebody said the exact same thing. This is the way it's done. There's no different way of doing it. We can't do it that way. So, therefore, we don't. And I'm sitting there going, it's amazing to be in this world. I'm thinking I'm still in 1950. Of everybody just thinks that, you know, and I should say not everybody, but the ones in those particular situations of sitting there saying there's no way of changing anything. And then I wonder, and I look at their lives and say, look at the stress. The reason the stress is there because they believe what they believe. And they would change that and, I guess, enjoy what they're doing. They would be a sense of joy. Because I mean, I understand people have different in this world. Everybody is happy and content and feels successful in many, many ways. So if they want a job, that's great. If they want a certain type of career, that kind of thing, that's great too. I mean, that's where they feel like they should be at. I'm just saying, in those situations, the more serious we are, the less fun it is. And that, what's the point of that? Because I think sometimes, this is my perception, but I think that people get angry with me because they think I'm having too much fun. You can't have fun working. And I said, well, I guess you're not in the right place then, are you? And I said, that's just because what you said. I'm not judging you, but I know for a fact that when people are talking about certain things, there's something reflecting from me. Okay, I'm happy, I'm content, I love what I'm doing. And they're sitting there saying, well, you shouldn't be doing that. I think it's a reflection to them that tells them that you best, in some ways, and the reason I say it, you're not in the right place in your life. As in, you're still looking for that, what your purpose is. And the reason I feel that way is because what you just said must be reflected through me that you don't have what you want. Or you would see and understand me. Knowing that attraction, you know, law of attraction, a like attracts like, and this person is not like me at all. Doesn't mean we haven't crossed paths, but there is a certain kind of reflection that says to this person, maybe you should rethink that. Not because you'd be critical of what I'm doing, because I'm happy, and you're sitting there saying, I want to be happy. And then you criticize somebody who is happy. It means you're not. So it's like a reflection back and forth, and you're hoping, okay, buddy, why don't you just take 5 feet back and look at that for a minute? You must not be happy, so that would tell me you're not in the right place. Not a psychic critical, judgmental. Go ahead.
No, well, I was listening to what you said, and I definitely think that, you know, if we're looking at something through the lens of jealousy or competition or criticism, and you're looking at someone and you're very critical of that person, you really have to ask yourself, what is it about them that bothers you so much? And even though that self-examination is hard for those people that are looking at you that way, I would suggest, you know, when you're very critical of someone, you have to ask, what is it about that person that bothers you so much? And if you peel back the layers, you'll see that what you're looking at, it really has nothing to do with that person. There's something in your life that you need to handle. or you want to accomplish or you need to deal with that you're not dealing with. And as you said, that person is being a mirror. They're showing you, like if you see someone who's in a career that they love and you are so critical and angry about that, it's not necessarily saying you're supposed to be doing that career, but it's about looking at your life and asking yourself, am I really doing what serves me or am I doing what I think I should be doing? You know, is that why I'm angry and critical? It's really important. And, you know, I think it's so important to really examine that, as hard as it may be, to really get yourself honestly. And I know that's hard. You know, that's not easy.
Yeah, but it's not impossible either.
No, it's not impossible either. That's absolutely right. And it's like, I think also, too, it gets easier the more you do it, because it becomes a habit, you know. It becomes a habit. And then it's something.
Yeah, that's it. The habit.
And then you really begin to, before you jump to conclusions and jump to the judgments and this and that, you're really able to ask yourself, okay, well, what is it about this that really is bothering me? And sometimes you may find that there is something about that energy that doesn't mesh well with you, and that's all it is. But oftentimes you're going to find it's sometimes a little deeper than that. And, you know, there's no harm in going deeper.
I'm just saying, with the situation, I mean, we sit there and, you know, I want to stress to everybody who's listening out there, too. I said the reason I even go there in the first place is because the idea of being in the position that I'm in to help people is the idea of seeing these situations, but also want to be, I mean, I'm sitting here just with the energy of itself, just say, okay, I'm trying to express to everybody in a very loving way that we, you know, the idea, a lot of things could change in this world if everybody would have the same attitude of saying, okay, what's a loving thing I should do right now? I'm tired of people sitting there preaching the word, you know, the great commandment is love thy neighbor as you love yourself, and then people walking all over somebody to get somewhere, and still they have a tendency that I can show it to you in the Bible kind of mentality, but they're not living it. And I just feel like in this world, if we would sit there and get to the point where, seriously, if everybody was doing exactly what they wanted to do in their life, was in this right position, exactly where in their life person, and they were just, everybody was just happy and loved exactly themselves and what they were doing in their lives, we wouldn't have wars, because there'd be no ego. No one would ever talk about the Ten Commandments because we'd all be living it. We would never violate those laws because we'd be instinctively loving everybody. Because the first thing that's going to pop in your head when you, okay, there's your neighbor, his wife. You love your neighbor. So therefore, you wouldn't go there. Adultery would never happen. You would never want to steal anything from somebody because, first of all, you love and you're attracting everything you want. So you don't need to steal. So all these cycles are happening because of just that one thing that you changed in your life, which is to love somebody no matter what, no matter who they are, no matter what was going on, just to love that person and understand that person who's standing across you. Even if they did something mean to you in some ways, they were just being who they are, and you can still love that person and realize just that point. That's who they are. They're not doing anything to you. They never have done anything to you. They're just living who they are. So I guarantee you probably wouldn't have that problem either if everything was doing the same thing. And that's what I guess would be my one goal, is saying, okay, people, this or look at this situation. You're in a position and you're a landlord. Sit here and look at the situation. What would be the most loving thing to do at that time is to make sure that someone doesn't have to sleep in the streets and try to figure out a solution. Okay, we could focus on the negativity part and say, I don't have any money. But I guarantee you're not broke. And I guarantee you do have money. It's just that you didn't get what you thought you used to deserve at that time. But maybe you should reexamine your own life and ask yourself, why are things happening that could be difficult? I mean, I've seen situations where landlords are right out, flat out lying to people and doing all this deceitful thing. Don't they think that at one time and that it's not going to come back on them ever? And wonder, okay, well, I'm having hardship. When it could be simply that, take a look at your life. You're not being loving. You're not being a loving person. You're letting the money dictate and say, okay, if I had it all, which just means all the money, that's what I want. I don't want to love anybody. I don't even love myself. If I go out and make all this freaking money, then I'll feel happy. Not realizing it's just a false illusion that when the money's gone, what made you happy in the first place doesn't exist anymore. But I guarantee you, if you unconditionally love everybody, that will never go away. And you will always have a great foundation for anything and everything you do. So, you know, it's like one of those things of looking over it. And I guess that's the hardest thing, like you were saying before, too, is self-examination. But, and we were talking about this before about relationships. It seems like we can all do this self-examination thing when it comes to how come I can't get that car, or how come I can't have that house, or materialistic things and that kind of stuff. But when it comes to relationships, we always make excuses. Oh, he's just who he is. So if he beats me up.
Well, relationships are really hard teachers. It's really about looking at the relationship and asking yourself, what did this person come here to teach me? What did I have to learn through this relationship?
I'm going to sit there and go, Michael Jackson's in the house.
It's really
but,
Thriller night. what I was going to say about the relationship is that it's looking at whether it be romantic relationship, whether it be strictly platonic or even a working relationship, asking yourself, what is this person, what is this corporation, what is this organization come here to teach me? You know, what am I supposed to learn through being with this person, this organization, et cetera. But I know, it can be really, really challenging. You know, I mean, you and I talked about this a little bit a couple of weeks ago, that, I just got out of two relationships back-to-back in the same year. And one was a very long, it was like a two-year relationship. The other one was a very short-lived, it was just a couple of months. But it was very difficult for me to get over both of those relationships and move past both of them. And I'm still in the process of moving past them. And I'm still in the process of, even though I know what the relationship comes to teach me, that doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt, And it's okay if you feel pain, if you feel hurt. It's okay. But it's important. You have to be able to express that. And you have to really be able, in order to move on, I think. What relationship
is
so important.
It is important. I mean, I think that's one thing I like about doing this kind of work, is the idea of the day I work with people to feel that resonance of that love, of just wanting to sit down with that person no matter what, to help them in a situation they're going through, and then always finding out more about myself at the same time. So you sit there and look at that kind of working environment where, like Oprah said, she loved doing her show because it was like therapeutic. Because issues that she had, she would have somebody on the show that would reflect something back to her to deal with it, to help her get through it, so she never had to go to therapy and all this other stuff. And I'm sitting there going, that's the same thing here. I looked at the lady, I said, think about this. We're going to work with angels, and we're going to do a little session here, but I guarantee we're going to take care of something that probably would take a therapist, 4 years to do. We're going to do it in an hour. And if I charge $100, you're going to find something. I guarantee you're going to be so phenomenal when you walk at the door. You're going to think that $100 is just not enough because you have a different reflection on things. So therefore, if everybody had the same kind of reflection, then would there be any problems in the world of any kind? Because there things, it seemed like spontaneously that everything would be taken care of. You would take care of somebody else. They would take care of you. Kind of thing back, because I was talking about this before I taught. This is why when I do teachings in the midst of a relationship, that's what I tell everybody. I said, think about this. Love this man unconditionally. He'll love you unconditionally. Then you just spontaneously take care of each other. But you're so into what you're doing, you don't notice it, but it still happens. So this idea of thinking, isn't it just a little too much intensity? Don't you want to live it?
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, if you loved unconditionally, that's the freedom part, right?
Yeah, and I think relationships, too, is very important, whether it be your significant other, your friends, your children. It's really important to stop seeing other people as your possession. And I think that's ultimately, that is really, because unconditional love means it has no conditions. I love you no matter what you do. Now it doesn't necessarily mean I want to stay with you, but I love you no matter what you do. That's the unconditional part. No matter how horrible you think you behave, I still love you. And oftentimes, I think we see people in our lives, our children, our spouse, on even our boss or our employees as our possessions. And when you start to see other people as possessions and you don't see them as what they are, which is divine, which is a piece of God, which is as free as you are free, you actually imprison yourself. You're both imprisoned. And I think it's really important, like you were saying, it's the same thing with money. When you hold on to something so tightly, your hand is not open to receive anything. And it becomes a really difficult, volatile, claustrophobic environment for all parties involved. So, it's, you know, as scary as it might be that the person might leave,
yeah.
Sometimes you have to allow yourself to be open, you know, and that's something that I'm learning. You have to be open. You can't hold on so tightly, you know, for dear life. If someone wants to be there, they'll stay. If they don't want to be there, eventually they're going to get out of there. There's nothing you can do about it.
It's like a firecracker. If you hold your hand open, what happens? If the firecracker explodes. You know, we could say that, look at that as love resonating. It would go, it just resonates out forever. But if you put your hand tightly around that, you'll lose your hand. So you lose.
Yeah.
So if you sit and take that analogy and put it with life, when you're hanging on to life so tightly, look at people who do that. Their life is like a freaking firecracker just went off. It's chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's like going around like they've just lost something, which
I
guess in some ways they've lost their balance and the whole thing. Exactly what that is, but that's the whole point of hanging on to things. You know, it's not a simple metaphor. It's not like, hey guys, you know, let go of the bank and go down the river. It's just the idea everybody wants to go forward. Everybody wants to go. And my biggest thing I tell people all the time, you want answers to your questions? Okay, you didn't give them today. Well, if you don't go on, how are you ever going to obtain those answers? So therefore, I keep moving forward. Look at yourself and be honest about what you see. Because I was sitting there talking, my biggest thing is, we never stop loving anybody. Okay, we love everybody. So to sit there and use that as an excuse to hang on to somebody, it's like it is. It's an excuse. And I also recommend you guys to go out there. I'm sorry, I was going to say, if everybody would just check out this one book that I actually did. You can get an audio book, but it's called Dr. W. Wayne Dreyer, called Excuses Be Gone. And basically what the book talks about is that excuses keep us from what we're trying to do. So there's some kind of fear that we make up this excuse to keep from obtaining what we really want. So once we understand why we make the excuse up, we trace it back to the fear, we deal with the fear, and then eureka, the thing we've been trying to manifest pops in our life. So it all had, and then also the situation too, when you sit there and release a fear, you find something else to love about yourself that the fear was blocking out. So it's another thing that gets traced back to the love again. Loving unconditionally. Like what I was saying before in the beginning of the show, where I was kind of appalled by therapists and certain people who say you can't live on love. I said, really? I've seen people who live on love, and I think you got a different kind of perception on the whole thing. You're thinking they're just living on love, but the people I've seen seem to attract and manifest things at will, just because of the loving relationship they're in. So that's a sign too.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
No, what I was going to say was that they attract what they want to, but on the other hand, if you're in a situation where that's not happening, then take a step back and look at the situation and ask yourself why. You know, maybe you got married because you felt the responsibility of the person you married was in a bad situation, so you felt responsible to take them out of it. If you come to that conclusion, that tells you right now what your foundation is built on. It's not built on love. It's a freaking false sense of responsibility. So that's why you have a weak foundation. So you take a step back and go, okay. Now you consider, look at the relationship and go, okay, unconditional love tells me I can have what I want. So therefore, if you make a decision that you can still have it with that person, then proceed to go build that foundation. Because just because you haven't built it doesn't mean you can't. Because somewhere along the line, if you're still together, and say we're talking about years, somewhere along the line, I guarantee you there is a friendship in there. It's just the idea of trying to find it. But if there isn't, then I'm just saying, you know, be honest and do the whole thing. But I'm just saying, I believe that everybody still loves everybody, no matter what. So they just have a decision to make. Can we work together? Can we actually have a relationship together? And make a definite decision, say, okay, no. Okay, that's just, I guess you would say in some ways, in some people's opinion, was being the mature thing to do is be honest and say, no, we can't do this, and move on. But I've seen situations with relationships that don't even take the consideration to look at all the variables. They just want to say, okay, it ain't working. Okay, why is it not working? Oh, I don't know, it just ain't working. Well, somewhere along the line, you've done this with readings too, where someone's sitting there telling you flat out, I don't want to be with this person, but when you're doing the reading for them, you don't pick that up. You pick up the opposite. So there's something that would tell you why they probably still together, because they're not being honest with themselves. Well, sure, they want to leave, but they still have that attachment that they haven't dealt with, which is what you're trying to do by saying, have you thought about it? It's just the idea of taking them back and saying, I haven't really thought about it, and you'll find that for yourself. Does that make sense to you?
It makes sense. Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, when it comes to relationships, even if you get out of that relationship, if you don't deal with what's going on, it will follow you into another relationship. You know, it just will. And the lesson will keep coming and coming and repeating itself again and again and again until you force yourself to really deal with it and look at it. And yes, if things aren't working in a relationship, but I think it's important to at least try and ask the question why, and to see if it's something that you as a couple can mend. Now, if you can't and you can't work through it, then of course, you know, you move along. But I think, you know, staying in a place because it's comfortable, but
that's
not
true.
Necessarily what you want.
Yeah,
because
I was sort of...
You know, it can be very, very, it can be detrimental all the time, I think. And it's, sometimes it's more frightening to step out into the unknown and to step out into something that could, you know, not necessarily work out, but it's something that excites you. And I think, you know, we have to give ourselves that option, even if it means we might get hurt, even if it means that. Allow you, give yourself options, you know, to step out. And I think that's what it is. It's sort of like, I've noticed with a lot of people that I've read for, whether it be about a job or a relationship or whatever it may be, they don't want to be there, but they're comfortable. They're comfortable enough where they know what's coming next. It scares them more to go into the unknown. It's like I read for someone a while ago, they were, you know, going through something, and they didn't really want to be there, but they were like, well, at least I know what's coming if I stay here. If I step out, I don't know, and I'll be alone. So, you know, and I've been there myself. I've been there, and I think we all have. But it's a matter of, like, you know, really asking yourself, you know, what is my highest good? And if it's to stay in this relationship, to learn through that, you do it. But if it's not, you step out on your own, no matter how much it scares you.
Yeah, because I was saying the same thing, John. I said, if you're sitting there doing that thinking, you come to realization right there, that minute, that you need to move on, to sit there and don't get stuck on the human aspect that says, well, I need to complete this relationship, not realizing once the realization's made, that's it, it's over. You
that's
know,
the people's answer.
But I was sitting there talking about
that's
you,
the
I said,
answer.
Thinking, right. A what? What'd you say?
No, I was agreeing with you that's the answer. When you get the answer to move on, that's the answer.
Yeah. That's the answer you've been looking for. You're sitting there going, okay, I'll just wait until next week to actually do something about it. But I was sitting there talking to you. I said, okay, also think about this. When you are loving unconditionally, even when you're in a relationship that you come to a conclusion it doesn't work, you lovingly say to your partner, this is not working, and you know for a fact at that moment you're destined for somebody else, but so is he. But you are a loving person, and you're unconditionally loving at that moment, that you can let that person go so they can be with who they want to be with, and then you can be who you want to be with. There's so many people who don't do that, who would really sit there and hang on to each other out of anger. And I think sometimes it might be a jealousy because they know for a fact that person's going to be happy. And they're so fixated on that, oh, this person is going to go off and find who they want to be and that kind of stuff. They don't realize, well, you're both being released. So that means that you're somebody for you too as well. But you're so fixated on it in an angry, hatred way. You're so consumed that you don't realize that this is all happening for you. The person who gets fired from the job, he wants to sit there and take all this anger out on the person who fired him, not realizing this might be the universe saying, we're sending you in another direction where you can be somewhere where you can be happy and love what you do, love yourself. It's a chain reaction of loving everything and the aspect of that all falling together. But they're so caught up in the whole thing that someone did something to them. That I think sometimes, I'm serious. I mean, I think if we're sitting here manifesting things all the time, we should look at those things too and say, okay, did I manifest that? We're looking at the negative side of the whole thing. I did this with my mom once. I said, this is how the mind works. We always go to the lack of, and she goes, yeah, think about it. So I'm going to sit here and do something. I'm going to give you a string of numbers, and you tell me what numbers are missing. So I said 3, 9, 11, and 13. Okay, which numbers are missing? Her mind went right to what numbers are missing, when actually, in reality, I just gave her some numbers. There were no numbers missing. So it's the ideal. Coming to that conclusion, I was hoping that she would sit there and say, okay, we go right to the lack. But it doesn't mean you can't stop doing that after that realization. And that's what I was saying. But she was like looking at me going, that's just stupid. I said, well, I guess we're gonna get really far on this experiment, but it was just the ideal of resistance. Why do people resist change? Because like you said before, it's something they're not used to. And what they're in right now, they know exactly, and then we've heard this before, and you've probably heard this before, or even experienced it, that when you're in bad relationships, that's the whole point of making excuses, because you don't want to go out to the unknown. But it doesn't mean you can't drop that habit and walk out into the universe and say, okay, you know something? I'm ready for whatever happens. I love the unknown. Okay? And just go and do what you got to do. Because I've done it before. I mean, I've done the same thing too. You stuck in a relationship for 10 years, but you knew for a fact you're married to the devil. And we're not trying to be mean or nothing. I'm just saying, as you come to that conclusion that you're married to the devil and you don't want to be married to the devil, you know, you make that decision right there. Because some people's situations are just that obvious. Okay? You guys hate each other. There's nothing good happening in the situation except for you just want to make each other miserable because you're miserable. So it's a chain. It's like a chain reaction, but it's a habit. Most of us, if we sit there and look at our families, we were actually taught that way. But if you sit there and, Nicole, you probably can identify with this one. We've all been there. But what tells us that, and the reason we're probably telling you the same thing, because we've experienced it, and we realize we used to sit there and think there was no other way either. But something came up, something happened, something came down across our path that made us change and think about, oh, maybe I should rethink that, because it could be simply watching somebody else or certain situations that happened where you didn't want to do that, didn't want that to happen. I thought my parents were the best at that, because every time I saw my parents do something, I wanted to do the opposite. But it was still motivation. You know, okay, that was a negative thing to do. But did that mean I have to sit there and do it too because we're related, as some people say, or we have the same genes or the same DNA? I don't think so. But I know for a fact that every time I've sat there and seen someone do something that I would not want to do myself, it just makes me not want to do that at all. So therefore, I did change. If it was just simply keeping on the same path and not falling into something else. If somebody else was saying, hey, that's okay, go ahead and do that. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just saying, I thought it was kind of cool. You sit down and love your partner enough to realize it ain't working. So once you go on and find the person you're supposed to be with, and then I'll go on the person I want to go with, and then we'll be happy. And then probably later down the road, that friendship that you had at one time, you could have again. So there is a solution to all these things. If people would just sit there and say one thing, I love you, and I understand that you're being an ass because you're not happy. So therefore, let's find the answer. Let's find the solution to what that is.
Yeah, and it's really, because sometimes the answer is, you know, to go your separate ways. And that's okay. But I do understand, because I can empathize or sympathize with that, with wanting to hold on to something and having difficulty letting go. But, you know, I think that if you just give yourself permission to be willing to let go, it gets easier each day. And one day you'll find that, you know, you can step out on your own and you can draw that relationship to you for your highest good, as opposed to holding on to something that you both know is not working. You know, you both know it's not working. So there's no reason to be dishonest about that and be like, well, everything was fine. You know, sometimes there are people that are blindsided, but most of the time we know. You know, most of the time we know.
Mhm. Yeah, like, you know, what's up? And that's one thing I guess that's one thing we're trying to stress here too, man. We understand because we've been there. But we are now here. So therefore, to say there was no other way, if that was the case, then we wouldn't be here. We understood that. And now we decided that we want to, I don't know how to put it in words, to sit here and say, hey, man, I love you so much that we're trying to help you all. In the process, that I have a tendency to forget, I forget to eat sometimes. But I'm just saying, you know, you're out there doing this, this, and this. You're getting so caught up in the whole thing. I think it's the ideal. Another experience that you have of being spiritual that you forget to eat. Because I guess in the midst of really being spiritual, the spirit part doesn't need the food. But it does need that kind of interaction of unconditional love. So it feels content, it's happy, it's loving. So the idea of actually thinking about food doesn't cross your mind until later on you think about it and go, well, I'm kind of hungry now. But it just shows how fixated, you know, on both sides. The positive side is you're fixated on people, helping them so much and loving and caring. You kind of forget about yourself. But it's like, I guess you could say this coming is a reminder that I also have to take care of myself or I can't do that. So this love,
right,
care, party. Mm-hmm. And I think, when I mean party, I mean it's like churches look at it as communion. I can't say it. When they talk about communion and working and basically, it's basically a celebration of working together, but also a sense of loving. Now, when you get a room full of loving people, I also get this image of also the room being full of these angels. So it shows the connection to divine by loving unconditionally. Now, they all say God is pure love. So when you put yourself in that state of nothing but really focusing on that, you create the same thing within yourself, which also points out who you are, and the connection to divine, which is connection to God, which also has a tendency, which you probably experienced yourself before, of finding out more gifts that you had, that came to the surface, and now just not just being a clairvoyant or intuitive, there's other things that go along with that, where you touch people, or you can pretty much tell when you walk into a room what's up. Magic.
Yes, I mean, it really is. It's true. I mean, I think when you heal your, you know, it's almost like healer, heal thyself. When you heal yourself, that's enough because you have so much more to give to the world. You know, when you begin to heal yourself and do the work, you have so much more to give to people, you know, and your kindness and your brightness, that touches other people. And then they in turn touch other people and so on and so forth. And so it's kind of a chain reaction. And I think sometimes, like, called to do this work as an intuitive or a healer or things of that nature, always so important to remember that if you start with yourself and you really start with centering your energy and being who God has called you to be, you can't help but reach out and connect with other people. It'll happen. You don't even necessarily need to. I say you can intend it, and intending it is good, but by being who you are, that's going to uplift and that's going to inspire. And other people in turn will uplift and inspire others. So, we all work together. And I agree about being able to see that. That same reaction. I do want to let you know, because I have about 5 more minutes to spend some time here and talk to you. And I just want to thank you for inviting me on your show and being able to talk to your listeners. And I was just wondering, is there anything else that, you know, you would like to touch on before I do have to leave? Because I would love to keep talking, but unfortunately, because of time restraints, I can't. Yeah.
You're going to leave me. That's great, man. I just love it. No. Hey, the situation. No, one thing I wanted to say real quick, if you could call me back tonight at 10, I'd like to talk to you about some other things that I have in the works. So see if you might want to take advantage of those too. But you were also talking about your time limit and that kind of thing, and I was just going to say to you, yeah, it's been great talking. Loved having you on the show. Loved to have you come back on here. And before you take out of here, why don't you just give everybody else your information that they can get hold of you and check out your show and everything else. And I definitely want them to experience you on a first-hand basis, because I have, and you're a very beautiful person.
Thank you, and so are you. Well, everyone, my name is Nicole Bowman, and I'm a psychic medium. My website is www.nicolebowman.net. I also have my own blog talk show. It's called Live the Light, and that website is blogtalkradio.com/livethelight. You probably will also see me on Psychic Dirty Man's page, because I definitely listen to his show from time to time. So I would absolutely love for you guys to call me. I do intuitive phone readings, and for residents of Central Florida area, I also do in-person readings. You can find all of that information on my website. And I just thank you, Psychic Journeyman. I thank you guys for listening. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful night.
Thank you. Sorry to cut you on such a short notice, but I really appreciate you coming in here and helping me out, because I didn't know what to do.
Yeah,
I have a guest all the night, and I don't know what happened. But I really appreciate it. So if there's anything I can do for you, let me know.
Oh, thank you so much. All right. Well, you have a wonderful night.
You too. Thank you again.
Bye-bye
now.
Oh, no problem. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, guys. I'm going to get back to the situation, and you have me all to yourself now. We have 40 minutes left in the show. This is Psychic Journeyman on Psychic Journeyman Talk Radio. Love for you guys to call in, get some readings. Is there a football game on tonight? What? I don't understand that. You're right. I had 30 people in here yesterday, and now we're sitting here kind of like, what's up? So we're answering free questions. I mean, if it makes it easier for you guys, I can give another free 1 hour reading. We do get some callers coming in here, and to give it to the next caller who calls me on my queue right now, I will give you a free 1 hour reading, and anything you want that I do, we can do that. So call in here, the number is 646-721-9031. Again, that number is 646-721-9031. Again, it's 646-721-9031. And like I said, we were talking about basically unconditional love, how it could definitely change everything and anything, and the realization, if you're not, then you can change that to where you are, and if you are, just to continue doing what you're doing. It's very interesting to try to stress to everybody, touching on subjects like this is the idea of understanding how the world really does work. Okay, people sit there and say, hey, you know, the world works like this, you got to have money. Okay. But I think when you put yourself in the position of saying you gotta have, you're always constantly in the position of always chasing it. And chasing is not a good thing. Because if you're chasing after it, more likely you don't have it. Now, when we sit here talking about love, you got two love between two people. We just go on both sides of the spectrum. You got a good relationship, works great. If you're in a bad relationship, you can also be in a situation. Maybe we should rephrase the word, not bad relationship, but just the idea of being in a relationship and realizing at that point that it's not working, that maybe you should have stayed friends, or whatever the realization is at that moment, to be loving enough to each other, to send each other on their way. I think it's the biggest thing behind forgiveness meditations, of releasing people. Because the more you release people, it's almost like severing a tie or cutting the chain from an anchor that's keeping you from moving forward. And once you sever those things, then you move forward. Life starts moving forward, and you start feeling momentum in your life again. The magic between two people when you unconditionally love each other, that means walking into a situation and quit using excuses like, I want to change you because I have a nurturing side to me. I think you need to look at those situations. Why do you need to nurture anybody? Maybe it could be a sense that you would like to have children. Or maybe you should be working in a position in your life. Maybe that's what it's saying to you. Maybe you should be working with children instead of trying to control men and change them to what you want to change them, or think you need to change them. Or you need to take that responsibility on when it could be simply working with children and helping them with the situations of having that intuitive, working with your own inner child, feeling pulled to the nurturing part, to go and put yourself in a position to do just that. It's like I'm saying, some people will look at it as a bad trait if you're in the wrong situation, but to take that trait and turn it into a positive one of putting yourself in a position where you can actually use it in a positive way. It's just being more constructive. Use your imagination. Imagination is there for a reason. not just for the ideal seeing vivid pictures in your mind, but it's also the key to manifestations of using your imagination to picture that in your head as a television, seeing that movie. So therefore, the imagination helps you get that picture in your mind, so therefore it makes it easier to manifest. But, you know, love is what it is. If we could just sit there and take the situation and find a solution every time, it's like, yeah, we talked before, unconditionally loving helps people find solutions a whole lot quicker. But see, reality is what you make it. And that means when it, and why do people in this world all have individuality, where they're all different? Because perception is different, so therefore their reality is different. But it still seems to work as a mass, and they're still individuals. So therefore, what people conceive as reality, financial realities, I'm telling you right now, guys, I've been in situations where I've gotten things that people say you need to have money for. I've had businesses, and for some reason, that didn't stop me. And see, lately I've been doing a lot of readings for people who say, well, I would have a business if I had the money. I'd be in a good relationship if I could find someone to love me. I would be, and you can put whatever you want in there. The point is, you have to have those things before you get there. With relationships, let's sit here and look at the relationships of everything. If you loved unconditionally, maybe you would be in a position, like I said before, I've seen couples that are together, they love unconditionally, they radiate that love, and they seem to attract all the things they want to. So they don't spend all the time at work, they don't sit there and chase after money, they don't do nothing. You know why? Because the love between the two of them is like a magnet that draws everything to them. So therefore, you look at the situation, that's how it works. Radiate. Resonation. Or whatever you want to call it. Of radiation, of love, goes out to everybody. So if you're in a situation of any kind of burdens, look at yourself and ask yourself, are you unconditionally loving at that moment? Or are you caught in the worldly thing that says responsibility? They are different. So what's up? What's going down, you know? Let's get into the freaking realm of things. Let's answer some questions, too, guys. If you have your own comment, then fine, go ahead and do that. Also, with the situation, if you want to, let's put this as well. I have a great show. And just the idea of my working here, I feel like I'm blessed to be in this position. So if there's anybody out there that would like to come on the show to promote anything they want, I guarantee you, if you come to my show, I'm trying to figure out how to put this in the right way. I love what I do. I want to do it more and more and more and more. You know, if I could do 20 readings a day, I'd love to do 20 readings a day. Okay, just because I love to do readings every day. But at the same time, I do this two-hour show. Well, it's actually a three-hour show, which we're going to cut back here in the next week or so, back 2 hours. And in about 2 weeks, we're also going to move the show back to 7 o'clock instead of 6 o'clock. And I just want everybody to understand that. I'll definitely put it out there way before it happens. So therefore, you can keep following the show and everything will be fine. But I just want to keep doing this. So if there's anybody who would like to come on my show and advertise through my show, give me a call at 937-838-6337. And we'll work out a price and a situation. So therefore, you can get your, whatever it is, exposure, calls, anything that I guess I could do for you in the process of me doing my work. Not just the show itself, but in the, I guess you would say in the case of advertising for you, I talk to a lot of people and here locally and everything else. And it's just one of those things that I know people have helped me out along the way. So if there's anything I could do, if you want to come on the show and be a co-host, by coming on the show and be a co-host for me, I will promote your product and you the whole week. I'll give you a whole week. So, or if someone just wants to come, if someone just wants to advertise through my show, call me up, 937-838-6337, and we'll work out something. I guarantee you, go get a price on how much it would cost to advertise on a show like this. I guarantee you're going to find it's pretty expensive, but I guarantee you I can work within anybody's budget to get that kind of exposure. So give me a call at 937-838-6337 or contact me through my website, which is psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com, and I'll put you on my website too as well and get additional exposure through the internet. So give me a call, and I would love to work with you, work together, and let's see what happens. I just feel like those connections just have a tendency to touch everybody, because we've sat here and talked to them before. If you want to call in today and get a reading, call in right now. And for the person that calls in right now, I guarantee you I will give you an hour reading for free. The number here is 646-721-9031. Again, the number is 646-721-9031. Plus the situation right now, we have a $10 reading for an hour and a $5 reading for a half hour going on right now, which will be going on until the end of February. So get in and get those readings in there. Past life regressions, past life readings, anything, relationship, compatibility, whatever it is, call me. We'll get that reading in there for you, and it'll be great. Okay? So do that up. Be looking forward to hearing from you. Love to work with you. You know, in the situation of those, you know, it's basically just come into the situation, ask what you need to know, and let's just get together. You have a child that you want to work with and that kind of stuff, you don't know how to proceed, give me a call. I've done a couple of those already, and I'd be glad to take in some more as well. Like I said before, this is what I love to do, and therefore give me the opportunity to do so. And like I said before, if you are referred to the show by somebody, it's $45 for an hour and $25 for a half hour. But my original prices are $100 an hour and $50 for a half hour. So if you say the $45, even for an hour, it's still less than half. So get in there, take advantage of that. It's going good until the end of February. And if you want to call in and get a couple blocks of time, like you want to buy, the $10 one, you want to buy five sessions for $50, go ahead and do so. You can do that. If you want to buy blocks of time, that's great. We will definitely take care of that situation too. We'll have it all written down for you and take care of it. So therefore, get it out of the way. Then all you got to do is just call, focus on what you got to do, and it's a done deal. So check it out. And if you want to just be on the show as a guest, give me a call too. And I think everybody has something to offer to everybody. So therefore, give me a call. 937-838-6337. We're all here to work together, and therefore, that's why I really push the idea of working and doing these readings, because I just feel like it's one of those things you really cannot explain and put into words of that kind of energy. It's just, every day is just a joy of sitting down in front of this computer and doing this show and talking to you, everyone out there who call in the show. And how can I sit there and express to everybody out there how much I appreciate you calling the show, how much I appreciate the followers and everybody who supports the show. I just love it. So, and the idea of working and doing this kind of work, I always stress the ideal, just do the readings. Let me earn, or let me be blessed with working with you, and blessed with the income that I would love to be blessed with, and also blessing you with the answers that you're looking for as well. So, I mean, that's a group effort. It's a team. So, therefore, come on, give me a call, and let me see what's up. The number here is 646-721-9031. If you want to call me for a private reading, it's 937-838-6337. Okay? If you want to donate to the show, do right ahead. I would really appreciate it. We've had people donating money to the show, and I appreciate every one of you, and for every dollar you've donated to the show, just a big thank you. And like I said before, go to this website, donate some money to the show. It's all set up. If you want to just give a dollar, it's all appreciated. I guarantee it. And also for people who are guests on the show, they don't pay anything. I don't require any donations or anything like that. I just, you know, it's one of those situations, if you need help, I will give you whatever I have. So, you know, if you want to help me out, I feel like it's just a chain reaction. It's a cycle going back and forth. It would just be me getting back what I've put out there as well. So, you know, we want to just keep doing it. So, there you go. There's the prices are $100 for an hour, $50 for a half hour. If you refer to the show, it's $45 for an hour and $25 for a half hour. And if you call to the show, it's $10 an hour and $5 for a half hour. But don't let the money stand in the way of you guys getting a reading. Give me a call, and I guarantee you we can work something out. Don't even worry about it. I have been amazed in some of the situations with people when I had my shop who would come to me when they got the money. They would tell me, hey, I didn't have the money last week, so I'm here this week. When I wish they would have just walked in the door and said, what you got? Because I'm serious, guys. I have been in positions of taking, and, you know, they call it bartering, where people, a lot of my friends are psychics and therapists and that kind of stuff, and we just exchange services for services. So if you have something that you can, that you feel like you should, you know, come, like you want to call me up and say, hey, I have this and this and this, can we trade out? Call me up. I have not said no to anybody. I made a choice a long time ago that whoever crossed my path, and in this situation, whoever calls this show, I want to be, I feel like I'm in this position to help people. So therefore, that's what I'm going to do. I don't turn anybody away. So do not, this is just a place to start. My prices are not written in stone, so therefore, give me a call. I'm pretty sure we can. I mean, seriously, I have taken anything in exchange for a reading. Okay? They all have worth, and people can pay in different ways. And I respect that. So, you know, whatever you got, whatever you want to do, don't let the money stand in the way of you getting what you need and the help that you want. Because I guarantee you, that's why I'm in this position. So, therefore, let me help you. I would love to work with each and every one of you. So, give me a call. We got 23 minutes left in the show. It's been a crazy show, back and forth. We've lost contact. We've lost connections. But we're back and we're doing what we're doing. It is fun. I like these unexpected things because it just keeps you on your toes. I thank Nicole Bowman for being here. That was fantastic. How she just came in there and really, really got me out of a situation. And I really appreciate her giving the time. And I'd love to have her back on the show. I think she's just a great, gifted, just a beautiful person to do that kind of thing, and I think she's just one of those people that just wants to help as many people as she can. And the reason we like doing this, because everybody who's listening out there, I mean, when we do a reading for one person on the air, it seems to affect everybody out there in some way of people going through the same thing. So it's a really cool thing. I love it. So therefore, I was trying to say, everybody, I just like, it wasn't the idea of complaining about anything. It was just the idea of pointing things out that make me really wonder why we do certain things. I mean, the idea of throwing someone out in the streets, sure, we can look at the situation, that's their path they've chosen, and they're there for a reason, but still at the same time, being put in a position to make a choice like that. You know, I have a tough time doing that, and people looking at me going, you should have taken those people that were living with you and throwing them out a long time ago because of what they did. But did they really do anything to me, or did I allow it to happen in the first place? There could have been a different solution there. I think there is. Maybe at the time, maybe I wasn't being as loving as I should have been either. And being critical and looking at the bad side of it. Where I should have been looking at, there's always positive in everything. You just got to find it. The more you let down the resistance, the freedom is of loving everyone conditionally. You seem to find those positive things quicker. So we still got 21 minutes left in the show. And I guarantee you, if somebody calls right now, my cue lights up, that person will get an hour reading for free. So give me a call. Number here is 646-721-9031. And if you have a show, a story that you want to share with us about unconditional loving, or maybe there's something that you was kind of curious about yourself, call in. We'll talk about it. We love talking about it. And I was going to say something. What was I going to say? I was going to say something as in, I'm really sorry, guys. We were supposed to have some guests on the show. I'm not sure really exactly what happened, but I'm definitely going to find out, get with those people, and we're going to correct the situation and have them back later in the week. They're supposed to be here Saturday anyway, so we'll go from there and see what happens. If you have a story that you would like to tell us about, maybe you coming into your gift, maybe being a gifted child yourself when you're younger and not really having anybody to deal with, or maybe you had a great childhood as a gifted psychic, call in and let us know about that too. Stories are great. I've talked to a lot of people. The reason I was so fascinated with having Coral Ruby on today was just the idea of her dreams were so descriptive and so intense that it was just kind of hard to look at the situation saying they wasn't true, because the dreams just basically played themselves out, and they were just, everything happened just the way she dreamed it. I did a reading for her mother, and she said that she had actually had the same, she had had a dream that backed up everything I said, which I thought was pretty intense. So you see, and plus, that's why I'm trying to figure out the situation here. I feel like it's just a breakdown of communication, because it wasn't just the idea of telling the dreams and what was going on. It was just her attitude and her love and her compassion of, you can just feel it with her that she wants to help other people with what she does. And that's a very powerful gift in itself. Excuse me, I just take a drink. It's been a long show. But, yeah, guys, give us a call. Number here is 646-721-9031. We're going to be back tomorrow. Tomorrow's show is Thursday. And I have a friend of mine that's going to be on tomorrow. Her name is Donna Ryan. She's a hypnotist. She does hypnosis. For some reason, I have trouble with that hypnotist word. She's going to be here tomorrow and share with us her life. I think she's also a reader, too. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure she is. And then we're going to continue our series with the 22 angels and give you some more insights to other angels of the 22, of the Council of the 22 Angels. Also, with the situation, we'll go over some things here. John Randolph Price has some great books. Check him out on Amazon.com. The one book is Angel Energy, How to Harness the Power of Angels in Everyday Life. His other book is The Angels Within Us, A Spiritual Guide to the 22 Angels that Govern our Lives. He also has a book that I loved. I think I highly recommend it too. It's called The Super Beings, Overcoming Limitations to the Power of the Mind. He also has a book on, I'm not sure if you can actually get that book anymore, but check it out anyway. It's called The Alchemy Handbook, which it talks about divine alchemy, how to take energy to create the life that you want. He also has a book that I like too. This book's got some really good techniques in it too. Good things to focus up, good to work with manifestation, called Empowerment. You can do, be, and have all things. So check that out. There's another guy that I love this book because it's got a lot of techniques and tools in here you can use for your own psychic gifts. Also, if you're really focusing on the mediumship, it just, yeah, I believe people are gifted, but at the same time, it doesn't hurt to get some more knowledge so you can use your gift to the fullest. So this one here, got a guy named John Holland. He has a book, he had a best-selling author of The Born Knowing. Now this book here is called Psychic Navigator, Harnessing Your Inner Guidance. I've gone to this book a lot of times. It's got meditations. It's got meditations of tones and that kind of stuff to work with your chakras. And the book's just full of information. I highly recommend that you take that book, because I guarantee it's going to help you really enhance your gifts that you already have, if not find other ones that you had to as well. So you should definitely check that one out. And as we always talk about Dorian Virtue a lot on this show too as well. So you should definitely check out Angels Within Us. I'm sorry, that's the wrong book. Healing with the Angels by Dorian Virtue. It's another book. It's got a lot of meditations and work and stuff and how to deal with and connect with your angel that you just can't overlook. Very intense. She has another. She has a book called Divine Guidance: How to Have a. How to have a connection, a deeper connection with your angels and God. And then we've been going out this book quite a bit too. Dorian Virtues, Archangels, Ascended Masters, A Guide to Working and Healing with Divinities and Deities. So check that out as well. So, also, Courtney was here earlier. I don't know what happened. She said she had a customer and she had to Zoom off. That was too bad. I was actually looking forward to talking to her and having her on the show. So, anyway, what was I going to do? Here we go. Check out her show, which is called Courtney's Intuitive Corner, which is usually on at night at 7 p.m. Eastern. So check that out. I had some friends on the show here earlier. They have a show called Divine Healing PAHQ, P-H-U. Really meditations, meditate. They're usually on at 8 o'clock. I don't know what day. It was on the 14th. It was a Friday. But they have shows here periodically. Wow, was it hard to say that one? But check out their show, Divine Healing PAHQ. We also had a lady on here last week called, her name was Linda West. She has a show on Block Talk Radio too called Empowered Life. She's usually on Thursdays at 11 a.m. I'm going to say Arizona time because it seemed like Arizona is a little bit different than the rest of the country. So check out her show too. She was a delight to have here and I'd love to have her back on the show again. So go with that one. And plus, we were talking about before, the private readings. Give me a call at 937-838-6337. Love to work with each and every one of you, and it's just one of those things. I don't know how to do it. I just sit there and think about every time I've done a reading and just wanting to do more. So give me a call, 937-838-6337. I have a friend of mine who was my co-host for a while, Desiree. She calls herself the Adored Angel. She was on here for a while, and she's a very gifted angel reader too. So give her a call. Her number is 818-200-7431. Again, her number is 818-200-7431. Also, you can contact her through her website, which is adoredangel.yolasite.com. That's adoredangel.yolasite.com. So give her a call. She's very good. I think you'll be really impressed. So give her a call. We were talking about unconditional love. Unconditional love throughout the show. So we just think about this for a minute, too. I want you to sit back and think about what you're grateful for. And then you start, I just feel like when I've done that, I start really picking up on other things I never even thought about. You know, the situation, roof over your head, that's kind of good. But there's other things too that you just don't, you kind of like take for granted. But when you start thinking about those things, you start remembering other things that go along with that as well. The magic of life is the idea of realizing that love is the key. If God's unconditional love and you're created in the image of God, then therefore you are the same. You have all the gifts you need for this lifetime to have what you want. Ask yourself, are you actually using all of them? And take a look at your life of certain words that you use. They could be resonating the energy that you don't want to do. Burden, sacrifice, and these other things. I mean, do you really need to do all these things? Or is it just the ideal? The solution is something more. It's the ideal of loving each other and understanding you're not compromising. You're actually lovingly, that's what you want to do. It's just having respect for somebody else. And the ideal kids. I mean, if you get yourself in a situation where you're trying to lead them in a certain direction, that's great. That's a loving thing. Just ask yourself, real quickly, if that is the real reason why you're trying to send them in a direction. I've seen a lot of parents that get caught in the whole thing, or at least they have it. They didn't do something in their life. So what they try to do is live it through their children. And I'm just saying, is that right to do? Is that a loving thing to do? Maybe we should look at that and say, okay, maybe not. Maybe I should let my children do and be what they want to be and just be supportive. Because maybe in the process of doing that, you will find out that you get what you want. It all happens and it all falls into place. But try to manipulate something to happen. You should think about that. Sometimes in parents, we think we have the right to do whatever we want to do in certain situations. But it doesn't take being unconditionally loving and sit back, look at the situation and ask yourself, am I really doing it for that reason? It could be the reason why you have such a burden in the thing in the first place. And looking at the situation in a different way, you might find a different solution. So take the time to do that. If you have a gifted child who is psychic and you're not really sure how to proceed through that whole thing, there's nothing wrong with reaching out and asking someone else for help. And in that situation, I have no problem helping in those situations. I've been there myself. I was the child and never really had the support. And if I would have, I think I'd still be doing what I'm doing, but sooner. I probably would have done it sooner. So therefore, that's why I'm such a stress on the situation of helping children and the parents, because I know for a fact the sooner that you come into that realization and you start working on that spirituality and you start paying attention to those gifts, it's definitely going to make a difference in your life in a positive way. So do that. We got 9 minutes left here in the show. This is Psychic Journeyman, and this is Psychic Journeyman Talk Radio. Give us a call, 646-721-9031, and let's do some readings. I was really looking forward to doing some readings. I understand that there are certain priorities and that kind of thing, so it's no big deal. It's just the ideal. I would love for you guys to call in, get your questions answered, because I would love to answer them for you and give you what I pick up. As the week goes on, we're also doing this thing too. You guys call in. I can also pick up on your past lives. So if you want to know what your past lives were, and maybe we can also go down a little bit too and figure what that is. That's connected to this lifetime as well. It's a solution. It's a tool to work to find out why do you do those things. So give us a call. 646-721-9031. And I also do past life regressions and past life readings, tarot card readings, psychic readings, and angel card readings. I work with angels and guides to do those readings. And I do private readings. And if you want to reach me for that, that's 937-838-6337. Again, that number is 937-838-6337. Or you can contact me through my website, psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. Again, that's psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. So let's get back here and talk about love. What is love to you? You can also call and ask and talk about that as well. Is there something in the world that you think we could change with that just by changing and looking at it in a loving way? Because I guess what I would say to look at the situation is to start thinking about things in a different way. Because everybody keeps saying, well, this is the way it is. That's because it's a habit and no one wants to break it. But at the same time, it can be broken. It just needs to sit there and look at the situation of love. What is love? Do you love your neighbor? Do you love yourself? I guarantee if you love yourself, you can find something in your neighbor that, I guess in some ways we could say, enable you to tolerate the situation. If not, love yourself and realize that maybe you shouldn't be in that neighborhood. Then think about moving. This could be the solution. You know, maybe it's not the idea you don't like your neighbor. You just don't like where you live at. And maybe it's just not the idea of liking, it's just the ideal time to move on. Unconditionally love yourself, love your neighbors. Let that go, the sense of freedom to actually really think about it. It just opened up. So, I am really sitting here looking at the situation going, there's got to be a better way, right? There's always a solution. If it's not working in this, in the context of things working now, doesn't mean it's over. It just doesn't mean it's over. So therefore, if you're still living, there can always be a solution found. So just sit there and look at the situation now and say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Life is so great. I definitely recommend everybody to start meditating in the mornings, do your chakra clearings at least twice a day, if not more. But always when you're in a situation of any kind that was negative, take the time to cleanse yourself. Relax. Take a deep breath. Let it go. Because you don't want that to build up over time. I'm not doing that. And the idea of catching yourself to do it, you just put yourself in a situation where you're going to be spontaneously doing that anyway. So check that out. Do those in the morning. I mean, I'll be honest, I should do it more than I do, but I guarantee you me telling you this is telling me too to do the same way. So I'll start doing my chakra clearings in the morning, chakra clearings at night, focus on your aura, do your visualizations and your meditations. Ask your angels, can they see things for you? And say you're not a person who sees auras and chakras, but you know they're there. So therefore, talk with your angels and say, hey, you can see this clearly. So once you take that situation and clear it out, help me see what I'm not seeing. In the process of that, just listen. Meditation opens up a lot of things. Meditation is not a way of controlling your life. It's a way of letting go. The more you're willing to let go, think about this. The more you focus on letting go and letting life be the way it is, the easier it is to let go of things that happen to you in your life. Certain events, certain people, that kind of stuff. It's easier and easier and easier. So meditation is great. It helps you to understand what releasement is all about. So therefore, you can do it in every part of your life. The more you release things, the less likelihood of being held back. And you're constantly always in this motion of moving forward. So think about that. All right? It's a great thing to do. So see, therefore, love yourself, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor, love yourself. So therefore, you're focusing on meditation, connecting with that energy, of connecting with your friends, your ghosts, your angels, spirits, guides, God, the archangels, ascended masters, your higher self, Holy Spirit, Jesus, everybody. It just opens that channel where you're all sitting around the conference table, all having a good time, talking, chatting, listening. And it's just a fantastic moment. And a lot of fantastic energy. So try it. You'll be amazed. I also want to sit there and tell everybody who called in the show today, thank you for your calls. I look forward to working with every one of you. So it's been intense. So just think about that, you know. Go out today and just be thankful and grateful for everything. As you're walking through the day, be grateful for the sidewalk that you walk on. Be grateful for the shoes that you have on your feet. Thank you, you know, be thankful for all the protection that you have, transportation to get from point A to point B. Just think about all these things. You'll be amazed. You'll start finding more things to be thankful for. And therefore, don't be surprised if your manifestations start happening quicker too, because you're not fixated on them. You're fixated on gratitude, being thankful. Be thankful every day for everything you have, because literally you do not own anything in this world. It's all given to you while you're here. So I'm alone. So take care of it, appreciate it, and be grateful for getting it. I guarantee if you trace it back, you'll find out where it came from. And, you know, the money that you got, and that kind of thing. You'll trace all these. And you'll find out that it all comes from one source. I believe it's God. But you come to that conclusion yourself. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for all the callers and callers today. Thank you for all the support, everybody listening out there. I really appreciate it. And like I said, give me a call at 937-838-6337. I just look forward to working with each and every one of you guys. I love doing it. I love everybody out there, so give me a call. I love this show. I love doing this kind of work, so call me. Let's work together. Thank you. May God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. And we'll thank you, and we'll see you tomorrow. We'll have Donna Ryan here, and we'll learn all about hypnosis and how it works, and I think you guys will be all impressed. So thank you again. Have a good day, good night, and see you tomorrow.